B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Let the party begin!
The show starts now.
All right, it's going to be a party. It's a Friday. John Kincaid Show here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Bob Cooney and Pat Egan are here. Jamie enjoying a wedding after a bougie party last night up in the Hamptons. Connor running the board, and the coach Eric Camille is here with us, and it will be a party today as we get ready for the Sixers taking on the Hawks. Game one of the Eastern Conference semifinals coming your way on Sunday afternoon. So we'll get to that. We want to thank Bradford White Water Heaters. Bradford White is here for the pro. I would like to say that my positive thought of the day when I had the Bradford White hot water come out of that shower today at my apartment was the fact that we are talking about second round action. We are talking about the 76ers, but we're back to a, what I hope is not going to be again, a false narrative. The Sixers are now an underdog. I heard two of the local newscasts last night saying it. Stop saying it now. The Sixers are not the underdogs in this series. The Sixers are not the underdogs in this series if Joel Embiid is even out of the series. They shouldn't be the underdog. I know it's something that people love. They love the dog masks and, oh, nobody believes in us. Oh, let's use this as a false way to get ourselves excited. Bull crap. You are not the underdogs. The Sixers are expected to win this series. I don't care, honestly, if any of this narrative about Joel Embiid's knee. Yes, it's an issue. You should win this series. If you're truly the number one seed, you should win this series. Is it going to be easy? Hell no. But let's not have a return to nobody believes in us, nobody's picking us. Last night, I saw a Sixers story being done about, and the experts are picking the Hawks to beat the Sixers. Stop it. The Sixers are not underdogs. This is winnable. It should be winnable. And by the way, even with all the indecision about how Joel Embiid's knee is going to respond, the Sixers are a prohibitive favorite to win this series. So stop with the false narratives. From the beginning of the day, all through the weekend, stop it. This is a series the Sixers should win. So enough of the fake underdog crap. Because I'm not here for it. That's where we begin today with Pat in studio with us, with Bob, with Connor running behind the board, and Coach is here. Mike running on YouTube, and he's got a little gift for you on social media later. We'll tell you about. And it's the John Kincaid Show on The Fanatic. Bob, I saw it on two stations last night, and I was a little bit upset with the, well, Sixers are used to, you know, Philadelphia is used to winning when they're underdogs. And I look at the Parks Casino Sportsbook app, my sportsbook app of choice, and I'm like, the Sixers are prohibitive favorites in the series. I have no idea where the, I don't want the fake underdog stuff to start.
Out these people, John. Who the hell is saying that the 76ers are underdogs, a 1-4?
I don't, it should not happen.
No, look, whatever happens with Joel Embiid, I'm still very confident the Sixers win this series. It's not, no.
It might be long.
Maybe.
It could be six, could be seven.
It might be five.
Could be five.
Yeah, I have real confidence in this basketball team right now. And the other night did a lot for me. Just watching, as I said yesterday, watching Ben Simmons take over the leadership of this team. What Tobias Harris has done. You get a Seth Curry doing what he's done to Tyrese Maxey. That wasn't a one game thing like, oh, Maxey had a good game. Maxey's playing really well now. Seth Curry can do that. And it's something that will also open up things for Danny Green if he looks for his offense a little bit more. Ben Simmons is just a really, really good player that was accountable for 48 points the other night. This is a really good team.
That number is still crazy, by the way.
Tobias Harris had, in my opinion, 28 quiet points the other night. 28. They were somewhat quiet to me. This is a really, really good team. I know the Joel Embiid thing. It's right there in front of us. They're still a really, really good team. They will take care of Atlanta, and it won't be that much of a problem.
I want you to out
Hi,
these,
Patrick.
I want you to out these people.
I can't.
Because
I'm not going to. I guarantee people watched the local news coverage last night. Look, all the stations.
Look, we all make mistakes. Apparently, our local news station said as well. I hopped on the BetMGM app last night because I thought without Joel Embiid, the line would be a little, you know, a little better for
you
the for the betting line.
Right, exactly.
-190 for the series.
Bang!
I took it.
-200 yesterday, and I took it.
Yeah,
I took it.
But you're right. This narrative that we want to paint of we're underdog, we're constantly underdogs. Enough. One time, and it was great.
It was awesome.
And I loved it. I loved every second of that ride. But at this point, it's so forced trying to hype it up. No, everything Bob said is right. Tobias Harris's game of the night reminded me of when he first came over because he would have these quiet nights where you go, Tobias didn't really take over, but he'd have 28 points. And it's because he's not really a streaky guy. He just, you know, pops them in here and there. And then at the end of the night, you look and you go, oh my God, he must have 30. You don't realize it because he's not putting out 8 in a row. He stepped up. Seth Curry stepped up. Yeah. Maxie stepped underdogs, they're playing one guy in Trae Young and the Hawks.
And this is the way this series needs to be approached. Now, Bob, you yesterday were doing a little reconnaissance because that's what you do. You go on out there and you try to look at a story. I guess you go back to your days as a reporter. You start to do a little research, and I'm anxious to see how you feel today about Joel Embiid, where it's at, and maybe sort of some of the stuff you found out yesterday.
Yeah, made some phone calls, talked to some experts on the situation about injuries and specifically this injury and all. I got a wide variety of answers to it. Is he okay? My first question to everybody was, can he hurt it more? And the general conclusion was, yeah, he can. But it's also very manageable was also the resounding answer that I got. From what I could tell, and this is, I did not talk to anyone with the Sixers. I will say that right now. I did not talk to anyone with the Sixers. I would never put them in that position now. He probably has undergone a cortisone shot, is what I was told by a few people.
What's the difference between that and numbing it?
Cortisone is also healing. It has a healing effect where numbingness doesn't. So probably had a cortisone shot, probably had therapy as soon as it happened and all. Him coming out on the court to a man, everybody said it was a good move, a good sign. Some said, and I talked to people in different sports, not just people in basketball, but people that have dealt with this in different sports. That if they had to be pressed, he probably could have played the other night. Now, my question was, and we're going to get into this a little bit later, how badly could he injure it further should he keep going? Manageable was a word that came out a lot with everybody that I talked to. It's manageable. It's okay. It's manageable. Yeah, it could get worse, and you have to be able to tolerate and deal with the swelling and pain because there will be that. The general conclusion was everybody's different. It could get worse, but it is manageable, and he should be able to get through a playoff series, meaning the rest of this playoff run. In other sports, they say that this is one particular guy in another sport said, this is so common in my sport. Happens all the time, and guys go out and play with it every week. So, every week, so I think you know what the sport is.
There you go.
So, you know, it's from all, and these guys have not talked to anybody about Joel Embiid. So this is just all me asking. I didn't even bring up
Embiid's
name. You're
asking just about the injury.
Just about the injury. So the news that came out, I guess if you're a Sixers fan would be, oh, okay. You know, I mean, that's how I came out of it.
It sort of sounds like it's up to Joel.
It kind of does, doesn't it? It's up to Joel. It's up to how much the knee swells and what kind of pain he can put up with. But we'll bring it up later. I have this little black cloud that's just hovering that I'm wondering if it's going to come over us.
Okay.
Yeah,
I think that's fair. Pat, that actually, Bob, we don't talk about things before the show. So we don't do the show before the show. We knew Bob had that information, but I didn't want to hear it, and we didn't want to hear it beforehand. I actually feel that sounds promising.
For him to play?
Yes. That it sounds promising as far as that he'll be able to do it. But when I hear that, potentially, too, it's how much pain can you deal with and everything. I wonder whether Joel Embiid has been conditioned to be afraid every time he feels any kind of pain.
I think they've botched
how they've handled Joel Embiid's injuries so much, because when he first got here and he was going through rehab and stuff, he didn't take it seriously and they just let him. They treated him with kid gloves. Hey, you want to go out there with barefoot on the court? Go ahead. If you want to dunk during pregame warmups, go ahead. And they finally were able to get through to him that there is a long game here and listen to us. So if we tell you, listen to us. It seemed like he bought in, and Bob, you can correct me if I'm wrong on this because I might be talking out of my ass, but it seemed like he bought in, and now it might be to a detriment where when he gets an injury like this and they say it's manageable, but he hears the but and he buys in for the long haul.
That's how I feel, Bob, is that exactly what Pat's saying there is that they've conditioned him to, we're going to not have you play in games when you are perfectly healthy because you're afraid. We're afraid you might get injured if we play you too much. They've told his brain, be afraid, be afraid, be afraid. Instead of exactly the opposite, which should be positive reinforcement.
Yeah, I can't disagree with you guys. I don't have any proof of it. I have seen, Pat, you make a good point, when he was going through the foot thing and I would see him come out in flip-flops and go on the floor and start shooting. And I would be like, what the hell is going on here? And I would say, like, why is he out there in flip-flops shooting, dunking, when he's got a foot injury? Are you kidding? I wouldn't let him on the floor without being taped, let alone not have sneakers on and whatever. There was some mishandling there. He got thrown off of a road trip his rookie year because he wasn't doing his rehab. I mean, they threw him off the trip. They said, get on a plane and go home because you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing here. So there was some immaturity level early on in his career.
Was that in Sacramento?
We were out west.
Corrected that, right? I mean, he's known as a guy who, I know his nutrition, they've talked about how much that's been corrected.
Yeah, so it seems like it. It seems like he's talked about it. He said, I'm taking things more seriously now.
I don't want to think of myself at 22 compared to 27.
Yeah.
His
maturity.
Decision making, everybody.
His maturity's definitely gotten.
Look, he comes over to America. He plays 1 year of college basketball. And then he's given a boatload of money and said, here, but you can't play for 2 years. I'm sorry, I wouldn't have been a 20-year-old, 21-year-old sitting on a boatload of cash, not being able to play, and probably not making bad decisions.
Correct. And also dealing with the fact that your brother passed away.
Exactly.
That really did a number on him. I think his second year, he's dealing through all of this trouble with his career, but then also back home, his brother, who he hasn't seen in 5 or 6 years, I think at that point, dies suddenly. That did a number on him.
Yeah, yeah.
Imagine it do a number on anybody.
Yeah,
let alone with all the other stuff going on in your life.
That was a sad time around the team. Like when it all happened, the way Joel, you just saw it. Like his body just seemed drained after that happened.
Here's what scares me though. Is that, Bob, I hear you're the expert you're talking to. And what I see is the sun. And you're worried about this dark cloud. And that dark cloud, I believe, has been created by the Sixers.
Well, the dark cloud in my mind, and it's just kind of hovering. When I hear...
They usually do. It's scary.
Yeah, when I hear, yes, he could injure it further. He could. Well... Then I start thinking, what, should you think long term or should you think short term? I mean, do you invest? God forbid this guy tears it more. And God forbid they go in and do surgery and it's significant, say, when the season's over. And then a year, 2 years down the road, it's bone on bone and there's no cartilage there and all that. And you're talking about a real serious problem, maybe. Now, look, this is all hypothetical, but... Is it a bad thing to maybe think long term as opposed to short term?
See, I think you have to think short term because a parade trip to the finals, this city celebrates that 2001 trip to the finals as if it's...
As if they won?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean...
I know how it is. You need to get there.
Yeah.
You need to go get there.
Kids my age, that's amazing. The team.
That's it.
I mean, I could name pretty much the entire roster. It was a magical run. And they were actually showing, I think, Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals last night, I think, on NBA TV. But I'm with you. You got to be all in.
You got to be all in
short-term. You're the one seed. And the fact that you're the one seed is one of the reasons why you have to get all in. Because I don't want to sit there and think, okay, they hold them out, and then they don't end up winning because they're thinking, what about next year? Okay, but what if next year you're the four seed?
Yeah.
What if next year you're the three seed and you're playing Brooklyn or Milwaukee in the second round and, as opposed to Atlanta? The fact that you're the one seed, you have to go all in.
Got to push your chips to the middle.
The whole point of doing the process.
Yeah. No, I hear you. I can't make an argument. I mean, I could make an argument either way, I guess.
And every time I was in L.A., every time I'd visit L.A., someone said, well, you know Ben Simmons will be here. You know Ben's going to want to be here.
As soon as he signed his contract.
First chance he gets.
I thought, how long?
And now, so, I mean, you know, that always is going to loom. That's another reason why, even though it's 4 years left, I mean, or three or four.
Yeah, but I think, Anthony Davis had three.
You got to push it. You got to push it to the middle of the table.
Yeah.
This is a run, and you have a Hawks team in front of you that's very beatable.
Yeah,
it's very beatable.
And Pat makes a great point. Number one seed, you got to. But to summarize with the people I talk to, I think it should be more of a sunny outlook with Joel Embiid.
I like that.
If he can manage it, the pain, the swelling, and the medical staff can manage him, I would say the synopsis is, he should be good to go. Should be good to go.
You want to get in with us, you can at 610-632-0975. I think Bob delivered a little bit of sunshine there. It's a good information, too. But if you want a job that gets you more, I'm not talking to you, Pat, join UPS warehouse workers.
Wait, let me write this down.
Because they earn up to $24 an hour.
Oh, no, seriously.
After bonuses. I'll go slowly for you, Pat.
Hand me a pen.
Apply now at upsjobs.com/Philadelphia. You can take care of business there. Now, Sunday, we have the Sixers and the Hawks here. Game one, a 1 o'clock start. Hated it. God, I hated that when I saw that yesterday. A 1 o'clock start on a Sunday afternoon? It doesn't feel big at all. But you know what's big? Sixers pregame on the Fanatic.
Oh, it's Sixers big.
So that's Sixers huge, is what I would know. So what comes up on Sunday? You and Devon will get everybody going this morning.
We'll be doing a pregame show at 11 o'clock in the morning. Me and Devon will take you right up to Sixers pregame, and then basketball 1 o'clock.
There you go. Sixers open up their series,
huh?
Will you be here for it, Pat?
I might stop in.
You might stop in for it.
I might win a studio sit in
and check that out.
Bring some chicken wings and gloves.
Can do that too.
If you bring ribs.
You bring the ribs?
I can't, Devon.
Oh, yeah. Because you didn't bring
Devon must pack it. I don't know how he packs it away on that very, you know.
Because he's a pro athlete.
He's just so incredible. So Sixers and the Hawks, game one will be right here on the Fanatic on Sunday afternoon. We will have lots more on the Sixers throughout the course of the morning and the excitement that builds towards this second round matchup, which I feel there's a lot of confidence, maybe overconfidence coming from people. The story yesterday that got me excited, and for Pat and for Connor, it might not mean anything.
Whoa. Don't put me in that category.
Okay. You were not even...
I wasn't born.
You weren't born.
Doesn't mean I don't get excited about it.
I was a season ticket holder. $76 season ticket holder. And the next year, they rose the ticket price to $85 for the Philadelphia Stars.
Did you have your Sam Mills jersey?
I did not have a... I had just T-shirts. That I wear because it was spring and it was hot.
Chuck Fucina, I had.
Chuck Fucina.
He's a fake.
I did not
he's
have a jersey.
Bobby, you didn't have a jersey. He's a fake
not
fan.
Not Stars jerseys. My first press conference, or press scrum, I should say, that I ever went to as a wannabe media member at Temple University was Jim Mara as the coach of the Philadelphia Stars. And it was awesome. The Philadelphia Stars.
I loved watching their games.
It was fantastic.
Kelvin Bryant at running back.
And they're talking about 15,000 fans going, they should target 15,000 fans. The Philadelphia Stars would get 30, 35, 40,000 fans. I mean, it would be, they'd get a great turnout.
And you're talking about the USFL, by the way.
USFL, yes. The USFL's coming back, 8 teams. We don't know where the teams are going to be. This is going to be one of those entities where the league will control all the franchises.
Hmm.
You want it? I'm in. I will absolutely.
What is the time frame again?
Next
is it
spring.
Summer? So it'll go spring through. Because I remember
of 22.
The USFL. I remember coming home from
March,
the shore on weekends.
It was like April. I believe it was like late March, April. And the summer. I believe the Super Bowl of that ended right around training camp.
Right.
It was like July. I remember Bobby Hebert. Right. I think Bobby Hebert and the Michigan Panthers. Went up against the Stars in one of the championship games.
All right.
And it was like July, some sort of time frame like that. I'm all in.
Look, you want
all in.
You want to throw games out there that we have a chance to watch? Whether I'll give it a shot, sure.
Initially, I said I was all in because every time I ever hear any story from a pro athlete about the USFL, they always say how much fun it was. I don't know what made it so much fun, but, you know, hey, it looked like it was fun. The reason why I would say I'm out is because it diluted the NFL product. The 1986 NFL draft was horrible because of the USFL, because they had signed away
Steve Young, Jim Kelly, Herschel Walker.
Yeah, Irving Fryer went first overall, and everyone knew he wasn't the best player, but it was because the USFL was just poaching these guys. And then finally, when the USFL crumbled because of that lawsuit, which they ironically won, the top talent came over to the NFL, most of whom were drafted or whatnot, like Jim Kelly. So I would like to say yes, but because of the NFL product, I'll say no.
But remember, that entity had big money owners willing to throw money out to pay these players, to get Steve Young to be a member of the LA Express, to get Jim Kelly to be a Houston Gambler,
Herschel Walker,
to get Herschel Walker to be a New Jersey General. They had big money owners. This is going to be an entity that's owned by an entity that's not going to be able to pay like NFL.
Which is, I think, what the XFL was doing the last time around.
Correct.
It was all owned. You're right. And they had, you know, I mean, Donald Trump was one of the owners of New Jersey. And you're right. There was like a bidding war going on. I think that they desperately need a feeder system to the NFL. And I would love for this to be it. I just worry about a diluted product. And if they end up getting some cash behind it, I worry about them poaching some guys.
I would absolutely love it. If there's anyone out there that even remembers, I mean, seriously, going to Stars games, it was fun. Our season tickets were in the section right behind the goalposts in the end zone. I think we were like three rows back for $76. There's your season ticket.
Yeah.
And then when they raised them to 85, people were out.
Oh, you were out.
No, I did it, but they were outraged. Then they went to Baltimore. I think they became the Baltimore Stars.
Baltimore is the only city that has a Super Bowl, a Arena Bowl.
And a USFL title?
A USFL title and a Canadian Football League title.
How do they have a Canadian Football League title?
You look it up, sir.
That's
a fact.
I did not know
they had a Canadian Football League team.
I didn't know Baltimore was in Canada.
Right in here.
I had no idea.
It's not, but they won a title.
Oh. See, everything I know about Baltimore, honestly, I know from The Wire.
From The Wire.
I know from The Wire.
And The Wire is actually based off of Broomall.
What?
It was set in... The Wire was set in Baltimore.
Right.
Because of filming.
Sure.
But it's actually based off the mean streets of Broomall, PA.
I did not know that.
Yeah. Yeah.
How did I not know that?
Stringer Bell was based off this guy Kincaid.
Really? I did not know that. That's amazing. Hey, as we return, we get you in on the show. The Eagles surprise storyline, plus the hardest player to defend. We'll get to it next. It's the John Kincaid Show on The Fanatic.
So I get home last night from a late night. It was a busy night. And I hop on the BetMGM app because I had placed a bet with the Suns and Lakers series. I saw the game still going on, and I decided, you know what? I think I'm going to bet the live line on this. That's one of the beautiful features of BetMGM is at any point throughout the day, there's some sporting event going on somewhere in the world, and guess what? You can bet on it. You can win money on it. The NBA playoffs is a prime example of that. They have the series, which I just talked about. The Sixers are minus 190. That's, I think, easy money. But they want to give you a chance at an easy $100. So what you have to do is you have to hop on the BetMGM app, or you can go to BetMGM.com and you bet the Sixers and the Hawks series, or how about you put $1 on, let's go with the Bucks and the Nets. How about just any NBA playoff game? Any NBA playoff game. Put $1 money line, and if either team hits a three in that game, you're going to end up winning an easy $100. Now, there is a catch. You have to use promo code PatEgan100 to get in on this offer. So any NBA playoff game, $1, moneyline wager, either team hits a three, you get an easy $100 in your account. Use promo code PatEgan100 to get in on the action. Download the BetMGM app or head to BetMGM.com. This is a new customer offer. It's paid and free bets. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years or older, Pennsylvania only. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, help is available. Call 1-800-GAMBLER, BetMGM Sports, in partnership with Hollywood Casino Morgantown.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5, The Fanatic.
John Kincaid's show on The Fanatic. Hopefully your Friday morning is going to be full of surprises, sunshine, and the cloud cover burning off. Pat is bouncing to the music as I was. Bob just sort of staring at Pat.
He's strange. When Coach is on it,
that
Coach
music
is on
is
it.
Fantastic.
Oh, it's good music. Great music. Yeah. I'm just watching him eat his mix of cereal and his hat on backwards and bopping to the music. And I love him to death.
I'm sorry. I'm enjoying life.
He's one of the strangest people I've ever met.
Should he have worn a visor is what you're suggesting.
Visor, what might have worked for you?
Maybe I should just be on Twitter just complaining about the industry. Would that help?
You should.
Would that be better?
You
no, I'm
that.
Enjoying life,
yeah,
Bob.
Yeah, don't do that. Enjoy your life.
Dude, I love
me
to
live.
Death.
Let me live.
You could go on to Twitter and just start talking stuff that's totally factually incorrect. You could do that.
And but some would say when it comes to my sports takes, that's pretty accurate. That's how you describe my Twitter account.
Oh, man. We have options this morning for you in our inaugural John Kincaid Show Mentorship and Experience Auction, where cancer research saves lives. We have three new items that are going to be debuting this morning. We'll tell you about them throughout the course of the day today. But I was just trying to figure this one out. The Phillies starting pitching continues to just be sort of the out of left field story of the year. Nobody expected the Phillies to have a strong pitching rotation. The Phillies rotation continues to be top eight in Major League Baseball in innings pitched by starters. Nobody saw that coming.
No.
So what's the story that is going to relate to the Philadelphia Eagles this fall? Because I think I've got everything figured out for the Eagles. Oh, I already know what they're going to be. They're not going to be that good. It's going to be a rebuilding year. And then I look at what the Phillies did. If anyone had said to me before the Phillies season started that their starting pitching rotation would be this good, I would have laughed. Honestly, I would have laughed at it. So I'm wondering what's the storyline going to be out of the Eagles that I think I know the answer of, but I don't. That might end up proving to be, okay, we thought this was going to suck, and it ends up being really, really good. I'm trying to figure out what it is.
Well, what do you think's going to really, really suck? Let's start. Let's figure out
the Eagles'
this
secondary.
The Eagles' I'll even go defense as a whole.
Yeah. I'd say, well, if you want to get specific, I'm going to go.
Okay.
I'm going to go secondary. I think their secondary way would be thrown on at will.
Yeah. Well, considering they still don't have a starting cornerback,
I'd put that as number one. And if you want to say defense overall, Gannon intrigues me. Everything. Anytime you want to get excited about the Eagles season, go read about Jonathan Gannon. I'm telling you, I just that's one of the things that's got me excited.
So
but I think it's going to take time and players.
Yeah, but it'll probably be your biggest surprise. Other things could happen. The focus is going to be on Jalen Hurts, as we all know. He could play really well. Would that be a huge surprise? Yeah, that would be a surprise.
I'd be a huge surprise if he played really well.
Yeah, if he's that, yeah. But after that, like, look, you have some talented receivers. They should play well. You have a guy, a running back, who had a good rookie season, fell off last year. If he plays well, it'll be that's what you expected last year. The offensive line, if they're healthy and they play well,
they should be good.
Yeah. So I think your biggest surprise will totally, no matter what it is, it has to go to the defense.
Yeah, I think that Jalen Hurts could have pretty good numbers because they're going to be behind in a lot of games, so he's going to have to throw the ball. I think their offense is going to be pretty good. I think their offensive line's back to healthy-ish, as healthy as you could be. So I think that their offense is going to be solid. If I want to go with like one surprise that I could see coming out of left field, Davion Taylor at linebacker.
So that they just fixed linebacker?
Just because you didn't see him at all his rookie year. They drafted him in the third round for a reason. They were high on him. It wasn't a pick that was lamented at the time by a lot of NFL analysts. I agree with you. I'm very intrigued to see how Jonathan Gannon deals with this entire defense. Their secondary is a disaster. It's going
terrible.
To be a disaster. So I'm looking at it, okay, well, defensive line, we kind of know what that is. That's solidified. The only real big question mark for me is, can they get anything out of the linebacker core? And that's going to be Alex Singleton and possibly Davion Taylor.
Is Alex Singleton going to play the guitar again?
I hope. You didn't like him?
I just...
Did you have, like, flashbacks to...
No, I have flashbacks to all that, all those secondary, you know, playing guitar.
Yeah,
and all to me is...
To Honey Jones?
I've arrived. That kind of stuff. It's more like I've arrived type thing.
Well,
I want to see more... I want to see more performance. I want to see more attitude. I want the Eagles defense to have a reputation, an identity. I don't know that Singleton is going to help me get to an identity.
Yeah, and that's a good question. Is he the bridge?
I'm not saying he's a terrible player.
Yeah, is he the bridge to the guy that gets you?
He would have to be to me
a contender. I mean, this is a guy who fought and clawed his way to get the NFL from
correct.
The CFL. The one guy that I never want to see again is Nate Gary. I mean,
correct.
There's a guy that celebrates, and he's getting torched in a lot of games. Singleton looked like a player, but they found, quote-unquote, players in the past at linebacker, and they let him go.
Yeah, Singleton's interesting. He is around the ball all the time, and that's kind of what you want from a linebacker,
no
right? You want to hear
this
his
team,
name.
Yes.
Yeah. Is he a playmaker at that linebacker spot that I like to see? I like to see play. I'd love to see a playmaker there. I don't know, but if you can get a playmaker and maybe Taylor's it, and you can get, you know, that kind of a season that you did last year, then
Fletcher
maybe there's something there.
Shows that it's not decline, that he gets back to even 2019 level. You never know.
Yeah.
You never know. I didn't see enough out of Fletcher Cox last year either.
Well, it's funny because their defense, I think, led the NFL in sacks, but you didn't really notice it because they had no takeaways.
Correct.
And that was the glaring thing was, okay, it's great, but then the very next play, they're getting torched.
Hey, you know, the golf is the perfect sport to profit with PropSwap. Use PropSwap. It's bursting with bets on your favorite golfers. Go to PropSwap.com and check it out. Golf action this weekend. I will be swinging the clubs tomorrow. Now Pat, you said, you were talking to Cousin Matt yesterday. You were talking to one of my... cousins yesterday offline.
Best Phillies rep I've ever had.
See, there you go. And we're teeing off at 7:20 in the morning. Bob and I both say awesome, and you're like, oh god, no, not doing it.
I signed up for a spin class tomorrow at
9:30,
and I'm dreading that
class. Connor, as a young man that falls in here, are you 7:20 in the morning, or are you sort of out on a Saturday?
No, that's fine with me. I'm cool with that. I'm always up early.
I think 7:20 is fine.
My goal...
Plus, it's going to be 90 tomorrow, I believe, or something like that.
Yeah. My goal is...
Hot.
If I'm golfing on weekends, my goal is to try to get the first tee off time. I love being the first off the
okay,
box.
Okay, what is, like, first usually?
6:05, something like that.
Oh, yeah, because it's...
Yeah, gets early, light.
I'm still
light,
getting gets adjusted early, gets to being light back early. To that. That's not bad.
Oh, I love it.
6 be a little early. But
nah,
we're up during
great.
The week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's not as big a problem.
I'm a night owl. So
there you go.
I am too, but I'm also a morning person. It hasn't done me well.
You're just Bob Cooney.
You are. So I pull up this morning. By the way, great concern, and I'm sure I'll see it on the news earlier. So this morning I said, because of Coach, I felt like I could use a sugar-free Red Bull this morning. So I drive down Montgomery Avenue to go to the 7-Eleven. The 7-Eleven, I turn the corner, there's Lower Merion Police.
Uh-oh.
And I'm like, what is going on all over the place? And
you got a police, you got a police escort to the 7-Eleven?
No, so I pull into the 7-Eleven. There's a police agent.
Underestimated the
gentleman,
impact he has.
And the officer recognize each other. And I said, what's going on? And he says, armed robbery. And so I hope the man, I love this guy. He's a great guy. The guy behind the counter at night. And I don't know if he's the proprietor or he's just the guy who works there. He's a great guy, really friendly man. It makes me nervous because I'm like, I hope nobody got hurt. And I hope he, you know, everything's okay. But and he said to me, he goes, John, be careful out here at this hour of the morning. And I'm thinking to myself, be careful going to the 7-Eleven?
Yeah,
something you shouldn't do? You go to Wawa all the time,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, Wawa is different because this is Wawa country. So people.
Oh, it's Wawa country.
Yeah.
Well, we don't have a Wawa near us. It's opened. On the way to my way to work.
Yeah, that's
not.
The problem on your way.
Here's
what I don't like to hear about that story, though, is these 7-Elevens are franchisee owned.
Yes.
And there's never a good time to rob. I'm not lament. Hey, rob this place, don't rob that place. But it's just, what sucks is you're taking money out of a guy who put his whole life's fortune into business.
And by the way, so the officer says, three blocks up, the 7-Eleven closer to St. Joe's, a month ago got relative same time of day had the same thing happen. So, you know, thank you to the officers for keeping us safe, but I hope that the guy, he's a really nice man. I hope he's okay. And I don't know if he's the proprietor or if he's just the guy who works overnight. But
That's traumatizing.
I'm worried about him.
Yeah.
Boy, I hope he's all right.
We need Mayor. Oh, Mayor of Easttown.
Mayor of Easttown needs to come on in.
Not your jurisdiction.
By the way, I did come up with one observation. It's a Sixers observation. If any local person should have been on Mayor of Easttown to be a character, they wanted a celebrity type appearance, Jimmy Lynam.
Really?
Jimmy Lynam
sounds... Did not think you were going there.
Jimmy Lynam sounds like... They should have had Jimmy Lynam in the bar where Mayor had the high school reunion for the basketball team.
Drawing up plays.
Jimmy Lynam should have been sitting there at the bar telling stories of St. Joe's and the Sixers and been like, and Mayor could have come on and going, what's up, coach? How you doing, Mayor? If Mayor of Easttown, if they ever did a second one, Jimmy Lynam, he speaks... He doesn't have to fake the accent. He's got it.
That wasn't who I thought you were going to say.
I thought you were going to say.
That's who I thought, too.
No, but he's not. But Anthony doesn't sound
Delco.
Anthony's
South Philly. He's not Delco. You're right.
He does not sound Delco.
But Anthony's talented enough where
if they dipped into the city on Mayor of Easttown.
If Mayor of Easttown says, wait a minute, there is a connection. I think Anthony does the sort of like the cameo.
Yeah.
Where she's trying to get information about what's going on. She comes to the studio she interrupts his pre-show meeting and she walks in and she goes, Anthony, I need a few minutes of your time. Cuz, I need a few minutes of your time.
Anthony would have been better than Brianna, the girl Brianna in the show. Anthony would have been a better dad in that spot than the guy they had. The guy they had, it was a hack job.
It was a hack job.
You know, it's like the slick back hair, chain.
It wasn't good.
Anthony would have been much better.
The bridge that they keep showing, like where the guy kissed her and all that, is that the Commodore Barry?
It's the Commodore Barry Bridge.
It is, okay.
That's the Barry Bridge.
I think they filmed that at the Union Stadium, right there.
It's the Barry Bridge.
Okay. I haven't stood under the Commodore Barry looking at it like
that. You haven't, really? You hadn't had that romantic moment under the Commodore Barry Bridge?
Pat and I are going there today for lunch.
Get some interviews ready. We're going out right now.
All right, we go to Cooney's Corner where he tells us this is the hardest player to defend.
Now, let's see what's in Cooney's Corner.
Even the theme of Cooney's Corner makes you
I always bop to this.
Pat is a mover.
I always shake her. Like it.
So
this
do
is
I.
A good one. Pat, your positive energy this morning is sort of shocking. I like
it's
it.
It's infectious.
It is. No, we don't use that word anymore.
My bad.
They're going to make us wear masks again. Please stop.
So, I'm looking at this Sixers-Atlanta series, and this is what we do. We look at Atlanta and we say, what happens? Well, you know, how do you cover Trae Young, all that? Well, I look at it another way, too. All right, I'm Atlanta. How do I cover the Sixers? So you're first and foremost, it's Joel Embiid, and what are you going to do? Are you going to double him constantly? You can take your mask off. Oh. Are we going to double him constantly?
He said it was infectious.
My mistake.
Do you let him get his, which is becoming the popular phrase? Exactly how are you going to do it? And then you have Tobias Harris, which is, as Doc Rivers said, straight on score. He's almost unstoppable. But even as great as Joel Embiid is playing and all, I still think Ben Simmons is the hard cover here. And I think it's the thing that puts coaches' heads in a pretzel in that, okay, let's come up with a game plan against Embiid. Double him, whatever it may be. He's going to get his. He's that good. But what are we going to do with that? Tobias Harris, okay, we'll put a defender on him here. You're not going to go into specifics about Tobias Harris. It's like, try not to let him go to his left. When he backs down, I don't know, force him over his left shoulder, whatever they come up with. Ben Simmons, you can say, all right, just play off of him, which is a lot of teams have done that. Okay, well, he's learned to come at you now, full head of steam, go into the basket. He is number one in the NBA at kick-out threes. How exactly you try to design to defend a Ben Simmons, I think, is harder than any other player on the Sixers team.
Wouldn't it be harder to, honestly, try to defend a facilitator more than defending a scorer?
So that's it. A facilitator, a rebounder.
You let the scorer, you may decide, as we say, you may decide to say, hey, we're going to let Westbrook get his, we're going to let Beal get his, and we're going to shut everybody else down. So when you're talking about shutting down a scorer, that's a strategy decision. But shutting down a facilitator involves so many different parts of the game. And it can involve the entire length of the court.
Yeah. So he has a glaring deficiency that we all know. He doesn't shoot.
Sure.
He doesn't shoot. So your thinking is, all right, back off of him, and the guy that backs off, you're dinging down on Joel Embiid anytime he gets the ball, or you're floating to an open shooter, whatever it may be. Ben Simmons has now decided, after his 6 points in game one, even though he facilitated 42 points altogether, he has now decided that he needs to be a scorer. Or Doc Rivers has said, look, I want you to score. We need you between 15 and 20 a game. And he can go do that. How do you defend him? If I say back off, there's nobody in this league, I'm sorry, that can stand back, watch him come at you and stop him. He might miss a layup. He might go off a wrong foot. He might make a bad decision. But you can't stop him.
Just fascinating.
No, that's.
I think he's accurate.
It is accurate, and again, it takes to the. And I'm not going to use the H word. Ben detractors do not take enough of that into consideration.
Yeah, like look, is he? He's not the complete player that we all want him to be, and there's no question
not
about
yet.
That. I just think from a coaching standpoint, when you sit back and you say, "All right, dominant center." Okay, here's a pretty clear game plan of how you can cover.
Try to attack.
22-point scorer a night. All right, Tobias likes to do this more than he likes to do that, so let's force him the opposite way. With Ben Simmons, I just don't see stuff that is easily plannable about how you can try to stop him do what he wants to do.
I think that's real.
And part of it is like you don't know what Ben Simmons you're going to get.
Yeah, that's a good point also.
Because some nights, like the other night, he had that look in his eye.
Yeah, some nights you get attack and some nights you get facilitator.
He did it, that look in his eye, that sort of swagger, that shoulder turn and everything. Pat, you're thinking disrespect is in the cards for Philadelphia. In this.
Sometimes I think in Philadelphia we have little brother syndrome. I think a lot of times we have little brother syndrome.
I think
and we think
do.
The world's Clearly. Out to get us, referees hate us, leagues hate us. So I'm wondering if I'm off base with this, but I found it interesting. I think it was game 2 or 3 of last series. The Sixers game was on NBA TV, and the Hawks and Knicks were on TNT primetime. Now, at first I thought, all right, that's ridiculous, right? Like, we're the one seed. We should be the better team. But then I thought, okay, well, the better game's probably going to be the Knicks. So I thought, oh, maybe I should just back off on that. 1 p.m. on Sunday for game one for a one seed.
It sucks.
Look, I don't think it's a secret. The NBA hated the process. Adam Silver sped it along by forcing old man Colangelo on us and his nepotism son. And I'm wondering if part of this is somewhat punishment because their star player, who may or may not play, but their star player is dubbed himself the process. Like he revels in this. Am I totally off base? Is this a conspiracy theory? Or
no.
Do you guys buy into this a little bit that the NBA is kind of punishing the Sixers?
Worked at ESPN, worked at CBS. I can tell you flat out, people in the buildings of both networks know a lot of people at TNT. They hate the Sixers. They're, for whatever reason, the Sixers in the process is talked about so in such derogatory fashion and is so disrespected. What the Sixers did to build this team is so disrespected as being gaming the system, disrespecting the game, that... Yes, there is a lot of people that are detractors of the Sixers.
I
guarantee you, and I'm talking guys behind microphones, executives that hate the Sixers.
I kind of look at it like when there's a guy running on the field at a baseball game, and immediately the camera goes to the dugouts because they don't want to show him. They don't want to show, hey, you guys can do this. This is an option, right? And they make fun of him. They call him a bunch of names.
Sure.
And I look at what the leagues are doing with the Sixers games is similar of... Well, we have to show them. We'll just show them at bad times because we don't want to promote what they did.
Do you think it overrides that? Look, you know more about TV apparently and stuff than I do because I wasn't following that. But do you think that overrides money?
No.
So, like, I think the executives that have to make the money and make the calls, that's all they care about.
It's one of those stories where, as Pat will say many times, both things can be true. I can tell you flat out, executives that hate the Sixers, disrespect the Sixers, want to see, they will like nothing more than to see the Sixers lose.
Executives for like ESPN
yes,
and stuff?
Yes. I'm talking bosses I had. losses ahead. That it, and networks that are just
sounds
like
so
that,
odd
and there
to
are
me.
That they do not. No, it's just but
it
they're, sports
sound odd to me. Yeah.
They're sports fans.
Yeah,
sports fans. It's not like they're saying. I'm not saying to you that they're sitting in meetings going
maniacal.
We hate the Sixers. Let's put them at bad times.
Okay. I thought that's what we were talking about.
No. What
okay.
I'm talking All about right. is there's just a disdain for the Sixers. There is absolute. I can tell you this within the halls of TNT. There is disdain for the Sixers.
Yeah, I think just when they're looking at the schedule making. It just seems to me that there's been some favoritism and there's been some disrespect, and the disrespect is to the one seed.
They want
to. I might be reading into it too much.
They needed to get a game time for Sunday, which they could end up with one game on Sunday at 1 o'clock. If there's no game seven in the Dallas series,
can they change
only
it?
One game. Supposedly not. It's 1 o'clock.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous.
The Phillies are playing a lot of sense too.
It just doesn't make a lot of sense. So it's like
it's gonna be a nightmare down there.
It just isn't. It isn't fun. But it will be a. It'll be a great day down at the stadium, and hopefully every seat's filled that can be sold. Hopefully every single opportunity is going to be in there. You'll make a noise
if you get 40. If you're talking like an Eagles Sunday down there, you're going to get 40. If you can sell, you get 40,000 at the Phillies, 20,000 at the Sixers. Good times at 1 p.m.
It's just little internal biases, and I think where it comes out is coverage is where I'll tell you. Bob, it doesn't come out in where do we place the game.
Yeah, because that's all about money.
It comes out in coverage decisions. Where do we put the Sixers story on television? Do the Sixers get more of a story, or do we talk more about the Knicks? Do we talk more about they decide editorially they make decisions that put the Sixers in a less favorable position.
Well, that's odd because I think Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid are two of the bigger stories in the NBA. I can understand people from outside hating the process
right.
and all it entails.
Oh, and they did.
But to carry it over to still hate, you know, in your terms, hate the Sixers, that just sounds immature.
Completely immature.
It is, yeah.
Sports fandom.
But there are big-name guys that cannot wait for this team to lose because
they lose.
They've been getting inundated with tweets about the process.
And they just can't wait to say they're right.
Yes.
I hope y'all keep trusting the process.
Hey, we are going to do a 2020 look back for the Sixers, and I'm not talking about 2020, the year. We all want to forget that one. That's coming your way next. It's the John Kincaid Show on The Fanatic.
Hey guys, Bob Cooney here, and I got to tell you about FanDuel Sportsbook, of course, because France's biggest tennis tournament of the year is here, and FanDuel Sportsbook, in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, is hooking new users up with $1,000 risk-free bet. Just place your first bet on anything using promo code Bob, and FanDuel will refund you up to $1,000 in site credit if you don't win. I love being able to bet on tennis on FanDuel. They always have great promos, and they have the fastest payouts. Now, since you have this great risk-free bet, here are the top picks that you got to look at. Of course, you got the king of the clay in Rafael Nadal. You got Djokovic. You got Medvedev. Take a look at the favorites because that's usually how it plays out over there in Paris. Plus, on FanDuel, you can bet head-to-head matchups, prop bets, and much more. So get in on the action and download the FanDuel Sportsbook app today. Sign up using promo code Bob so they know we sent you. Again, that's promo code Bob. 21 and older and present in Pennsylvania. First online real money wager only. Refund is issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
7 o'clock hour on this Friday of the John Kincaid Show is brought to you by the Parks Casino Sportsbook app. You can download it at parkscasino.com/PA and use the promo code Fanatic. And we appreciate it when you get in on the show and you are a part of what we've got going on. We got people that want to join us at 610-632-0975. And I know that Ryan in Hatboro had hung on, so I want to get Ryan have a chance to speak here. Ryan, welcome to the Fanatic. How are you, buddy?
Good morning, gentlemen. Just want to talk about the whole thing, you know, with the executives and what you said about hating the process. The NBA created that. There was no way for the Sixers to get better without going through the whole process. And let's not get it twisted.
Why do you say Sixers, though, when you make that statement? Why do you say there was no way for the
Sixers? Well, I'm just talking in general about the Sixers, but there's no way in general for teams that don't have stars in order to get better other than blow it up. And let's also not get it twisted. The NBA's baby, the Lakers, they did it too.
But Ryan, blowing it up is different than what the Sixers did. There are a lot of teams that blow it up, clear their roster, draft. They do not lose purposely for 3 or 4 years.
Lakers did it too.
They don't do like they did not do it like the Sixers did it.
They didn't do it as apparent.
So they didn't. No, they didn't do it like the Sixers did it. I mean, let's not make it in trying to defend the process, whether you loved it or not. Let's not try to make it that, oh, well, all these other teams did it. Bullcrap. That did not happen.
No one in the history of sports has done it to the extent that the 76ers did it.
Yes, correct. That's the thing. To the extent.
The greatest extent.
Teams have done it before, and I often say the Celtics, when they got the big three, they did it. They tanked, and everyone knows they tanked. The Oklahoma City Thunder, everybody knows they're tanking. The Sixers shoved it in the face of the league. They made it so obvious that they were tanking. That's the difference, to the extent.
And also the length. That they did it. The Celtics didn't do that with the big three. They didn't tank for three in almost 4 years.
Yes.
They didn't do it.
And part of the reason that the length was the length that it was because they drafted an injured center in year one.
Correct.
Then they drafted an injured center in year two. Mm-hmm. That guy was out for 2 years.
He drafted centers 2 years in a row.
And then they drafted a bad center.
Yeah.
You're seeing a trend here.
Yeah,
so.
I think it was. It was a bit of an issue there. One thing as we start the hour. I want people to do a little retrospective to early on in the history of the John Kincaid Show. It was NBA trade deadline day. James Harden ends up a Brooklyn Net. And the entire just fan base was angst-ridden one way or another as to whether the deal would go down. And yes, on the final day, there is even, you could go back and even read, Ben Simmons, Matisse Thybulle, and Maxey for James Harden. And there were people that called this radio show the day after, complaining about it, that it didn't happen. There was social media galore, just angst. The Sixers aren't all in. They don't care. This was their chance. Can you imagine the 76ers without Matisse Thybulle and Maxey and Ben Simmons? It's ridiculous. That would have been the stupidest decision to bring in, hey, and get in here a guy who fat ate his way out of Houston. To bring him in and lose those three pieces, your window of opportunity to win would have been so much smaller. And, Bob, I don't think you would have won a damn thing this year.
Yeah, I was against it from the beginning. I didn't want to do it. I didn't want Harden here. I want Simmons and Embiid to grow together. I want this to be something special here with those two for a long time. I love Matisse Thybulle as a player. I think he's got a really, really bright future. I didn't know what Maxey was back then.
No, none of us did.
No, you saw some stuff that you thought might be neat, but I didn't think he was going to be what he's become this quickly, especially. It appears they made the right decision, and people could still argue the point that they didn't. Okay. I mean, Harden had a great year.
Okay, well, wait a minute. Let's argue it then. Let's argue their point of view.
I hate when mom and dad fight.
So you got Ben Simmons. No, we're in
go ahead.
We don't like this. You have Ben Simmons. Right now, you'd have Ben Simmons gone. Thybulle gone, Maxey gone. Tell me how you're facing the Atlanta Hawks.
Tell you how you're facing the Atlanta Hawks?
What's your roster?
Well,
James Harden.
Yeah, you have Harden and Embiid in your...
Embiid may or may not play. Who are you? Who's your starting lineup? You're getting trucked. You're getting trucked. You wouldn't even have beaten... You would not have been able to beat Washington you went 5 with. I guarantee you that series would have went 6, if not more.
Think so.
Okay, who's your starting lineup? J- James Harden.
It's everybody but James Harden's in for Ben Simmons.
Okay, but your whole roster is terrible.
Yeah, I said I wouldn't do the trade, but
I
don't.
One of us would have.
If you have James Harden and Joel Embiid in a starting lineup and you still have Tobias Harris there, you can't convince me that that team's not really good.
Okay.
And they're probably a number one seed.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, like you think they're winning.
I wouldn't have done the trade.
They're going up against the Hawks right now.
I'm not
going to
say.
Remember, you've got Joel Embiid with this shaky history. We don't know if he's going to play or not. So you're going with Harden. You're saying at this point you're counting on Tobias Harris to be your two most important player. When you don't have Joel in there, you count on him to be your two most important player. And who's your third?
Well, without Joel Embiid, you're also not. I don't know what
you're a 200
definitively.
But you're a minus 200 favorite in the series to beat the Hawks. You would not be if you did not have. If you do not have Ben Simmons, Thibault, and Maxey, you're not a 200 minus 200 favorite to beat the Hawks.
I don't believe
that series would truck them.
If you lose Embiid, you think Atlanta would truck a Sixers team that was consisted of?
I think you wouldn't be a minus 200 favorite.
Oh.
I think it'd be a toss-up series. Like coin flip, seven games, toss it up. Indiana.
Now we're playing semantics here, but all right, if we're talking about Embiid injury and Harden's
here.
Well,
no, we got to deal with the reality. That's the reality.
Well, none of this is reality. If Harden were here and Embiid has what he has, the thing you have to pick up with Embiid is scoring. Harden can do that probably better than Simmons, right?
No question. Defense, no.
No, no defense.
No defense.
Yeah. Look. This is weird. I'm arguing against something that I would never have done.
And you don't have, but wait a minute, then you don't have Simmons' defense and Thibault's defense to shut down Trae Young.
Yeah. No, it's
so I think it's a 7-game series. Easily.
I don't know if it's 7 games, but it's definitely harder than it probably will end up being. Now the question is, with James Harden attached to the core of Embiid, Tobias Harris, James Harden, would you have been able to attract more guys on the veteran buyout market? Because
maybe,
they didn't attract anybody. So you might have been able to fill that depth, but then the question is, who are those guys? I mean, Blake Griffin shot.
My head's in a pretzel right now with all the speculation.
Well, I don't think it's a lot of, I don't consider it really hard speculation.
Like pretzels.
To just say.
Well, we're talking about who they would have been able to get.
Another one, too, is the Nets wouldn't be as formidable.
No.
Well, and I think that
potentially.
That's the big problem that a lot of fans had.
I don't know. It's funny, since we're thinking this out, Ben Simmons with Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant. I don't know. I wonder what his numbers would be like.
No. What I'm saying to you is the Nets wouldn't have Harden.
Right. They would have Ben Simmons, though.
You know, no, what I'm saying is Ben Simmons isn't there.
I'm sorry.
I was swatting. My fault. This is, we really do have your tied in a pretzel.
You do.
Let's not make this real confusion.
The Nets have Durant and Kyrie.
That's it.
They are not as formidable to go up against.
No.
If James Harden's not there.
But I think that's where a lot of the angst came from when the trade went down. It wasn't necessarily the fact that the Sixers didn't do the deal. It was the fact that not only did the Sixers not do the deal went to your division rival in the Nets, the team that you were battling with the number one seed. I got it. I know you guys got it. The tweets from people that were like, none of this matters. Brooklyn's winning the number one seed. Brooklyn's winning the East. We're probably still getting it. So there are people out there that it's not necessarily about if they didn't do the trade. It's the fact that they didn't do the trade and where he ended up going.
And that makes more sense. But yeah. I'm not gutting my team in 2021 and the open window of opportunity that they've got now for 3 or 4 years. A big window for this team to compete, to try to put all my chips in the center of the table for 2021. That would have been stupid to me.
Yeah, I wouldn't have done it.
And you said you would have never done it.
Jamie
would have been interested.
I wouldn't have done it under any circumstance with Ben Simmons in the deal. At the time of the trade going down, I was fine with trading Maxey because I didn't know what he was.
We didn't know what he was.
And I was fine with trading Matisse.
See, I was not.
But when Ben Simmons was linked, I was completely out.
Just some of it. If you want to share a thought, you can. 610-632-0975. By the way, Mattress Firm, their best Memorial Day sale ever. They've extended it for a limited time. You can shop and save up to $500 on top-rated brands like Sealy and Sleepy's. Memorial Day sales going into June.
That's nice. Always good.
You got the backyard cleaned up yesterday.
Oh, I'm so happy.
You're a little sore, though.
Yeah, yeah, a lot of some physical work yesterday. Yeah,
you're a man.
I love it.
Bob loves
I love getting outside and
love the yard work.
Yep. Love finishing up and have a good sweat going and feel like you did something and all that.
Was there a shower beer involved?
Absolutely, there was, yes. I got done, and the guy, one of the contractors that's working on my house that's doing a downstairs bathroom, we kind of got done around the same time. So
you had a shower beer with him?
No, so he got done, and we did have a beer.
It's real awkward real quick.
And then he took off, and then I did more yard work, but then, had a nice sweat going. I said, you know what, a beer in the shower would be good right now.
Now, you should have said to him, here, now stub it all out for me so I can have the outdoor shower.
It's a running joke that he and I do with each other all the time, and Donna listens and says, hey, you guys can keep kidding around. You ain't getting one. So I'm out on the
outdoor
shower.
Would she know if you installed it?
If you stubbed it.
If you just didn't say.
What do you mean, would she know?
No, if you stubbed it.
I mean, because there's so much construction going on in the house. Would she know if there was an outdoor shower being installed?
Yeah.
I'm just posing a question, Bob. I'm trying to help you out.
Would she know if you stubbed it for an outdoor shower? Would she be that observant where all it would require someone to do is just come in and it's already all set up for it. All you have to do is say, give me the go-ahead, honey, and in a day we could have it.
Yes, she is very hands-on when things are going on.
You need to schedule her a spa day, an all-day spa day. Her and Jenna.
It won't work.
It won't work?
No.
All right, I tried.
Put up one of those fences.
So have I.
I mean, not with that attitude, it won't work.
I'm beaten down.
I'm a beaten man.
I am not getting an outdoor shower as much as I want one.
By the, I looked at some of the conversation earlier on our YouTube channel regarding the,
how's the crowd today?
This is a very lively crowd this morning. Coach, wouldn't you say lively, fired up crowd? I mean, everybody's been having their magic spoon and gotten themselves all excited.
Say something, Coach.
Yeah, I'm not sure what's going on in this chat board today. There just seems to be a lot of civil war happening lately.
Really? Oh, no.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you pulling the car over, Coach?
I will. Don't make me pull this car over.
Theo thinks that it comes down to the Sixers don't have a huge fan base across the country. And that there's biases because they're bandwagon teams like the Lakers, Yankees, that have these fan bases that go across the whole country. That he thinks that comes into for the Sixers sort of disdain.
Mm-hmm.
And again, too, people are like, one of the gentlemen going, I never thought about that. Somebody decides, what are we leading with on SportsCenter? Where does the Sixers highlights go? Where do the Knicks highlights go? They decide these things. These are human decisions.
Is it true that the NBA just made the Suns-Lakers series a 9-game series?
I think they decided. They went last night. It did not happen.
Around the third quarter, they decided, let's make this a 9-game series.
I will say this, though. I love seeing LeBron out because I want the boogeyman gone because I consider him.
Damn time.
I consider him the boogeyman. LeBron James made it out of the first round, I'd be thinking, oh, geez. Here it comes. But the people that revel in his defeat, as far as that, just like are trying to drag him today for losing, I don't understand it.
I kind of love it.
No, I understand that people don't love him.
No, and that's the thing.
But he's so freaking awesome.
I love the guy. I mean, he's a person you can't really root against because he's such a good person. The fact that he's grown up in the social media day and age and you've never heard a bad thing about him other than the fact that he's corny and yells Taco Tuesday is impressive. He does a lot of great community work. I am still bitter about the fact this is so childish of me. I'm still bitter about the fact that 3 years ago he made a business move over a basketball move and chose LA and the movie business over the basketball decision, which would have been to side with the Sixers and keep the legacy going of championships. Now, the counter is, well, idiot, he won the championship last year. I think you're kind of seeing the bubble situation might be with an asterisk because some of those teams that
everybody
had such success,
was in the bubble. I don't buy that.
Well, whatever. Asterisk. Even if you don't believe it or not. But the fact is, 3 years, he's won one championship, which is phenomenal. I'll take that all day. He's missed the playoffs. He's missed the finals twice. He'd made 11 straight finals until he went to LA. So I still look at it like, well, good. That's what you get. You wanted to make a business decision instead of a basketball decision. That's what you get.
No, you're right.
He had a parade.
You're right. You're childish.
I am.
But he had a parade.
Oh, no. It's completely
this
childish.
City would still be celebrating, and there'd be nobody talking about, well, it's an asterisk season. They want
to. No,
the
I'm completely hypocritical.
So I hate hearing that.
I will own it all day. I'm hypocritical. It's stupid of me crapping on a guy who won a championship last year, but, you know, here I am.
What happens?
Luckily, no one's listening.
LeBron James just, to me, again, he is, and there's things that I disagree with LeBron on that come out of his mouth. I just respect him so much.
Yeah, I
respect the brand that he's built. I respect the fact that he's lived his life in a admirable fashion, that he doesn't end up, as you say, bad negativity.
There's nothing
about him. He is and he does it, I believe, and I believe he's lifted a lot of other people up. He's been the shoulders that a lot of other people have gained fame off of.
J.R. Smith?
It could be happening. Hey, let's check out Cooney's Corner and analyzing, debating, dissecting. It's what we do on the show.
Now, let's see what's in Cooney's Corner.
Yeah, I'm a live to for the day type of guy. You guys know.
I'm not a real
plan ahead type of person. I wake up and I figure out what the day entails, and I do the same thing the next day, and that's kind of what it is. I just have this overwhelming feeling that the Sixers are going to take this series easily. And I don't care. I mean, I do care. If Embiid's in there, if Embiid's not in there, whatever the case may be, I just think this is a matchup nightmare for the Atlanta Hawks. I don't think they match up well. I do think that the 76ers match up well in that their perimeter defense can be really good. I don't see this being much of a series. I would be surprised if it goes past five games. Whether Joel Embiid plays all five or not, I really don't see this going past five games.
I love, he's bold and he's beautiful.
And I look right out there.
Say it with your chest.
You're not, yeah. Now, the next series that they play is going to be scary as hell, and I might not have such glowing confidence.
Bravado.
For the Sixers, but I do. I just think that the way they're playing now, with pieces falling into place, too, with a Tyrese Maxey, with Seth Curry, with Tobias Harris is playing really good, Ben Simmons is playing really... I just think they're a really, really good team. And like I said, I like to look at matchups from the other end. Not just how do the Sixers match up with Atlanta. How does Atlanta match up with the Sixers? They don't.
They don't.
They just don't. And even when you take Joel Embiid out...
It's not a good matchup.
Yeah, it closes. And one thing that does scare me a little bit by saying this is that I look at the line for tomorrow or for Sunday. Sixers only favored by 2.5. That's one of those lines.
I hammered it.
Yeah, I would too.
So did I.
I do. I just.
So did I.
The confidence that I have in this Sixers team against Atlanta over a 7-game series, yeah, I'd be surprised if it goes past five.
I not only hammered the -2.5, but I also bet the series Sixers 4-1, and then just in case Sixers 4-2, because I'm with you. I don't see this being a series. I think I actually threw $5 away in the 4-2. That was just a, hey, if they throw up a clunker game, but you have to stop Trae Young. Like, that's it. This is the whole point of why it was so important to get the number one seed, is because this is the luxury you have. Facing a team in the second round that you should steamroll, so that the fact that you can get over the hump of winning a second round series. You don't have to play Brooklyn. You don't have to play Milwaukee. This is why it was so important.
It's what it was all about. I'm not where Bob is. I'm one step over from where Bob is. I'm just one step over, but I do not believe it'll be more than six.
Yeah.
I do not believe it'll be more than six, and I'm very confident the Sixers win the series.
And going back to at the beginning of what we talked about at the beginning of the show, if people didn't listen, that, you know, talking to the trainers and people that I talked to, medical professionals yesterday about the Joel Embiid injury, and just the injury, not
his
people didn't talk to him, whatever. It seems to be a pretty good feeling among these professionals that he should be okay, that he should be good to go. And that furthers my belief that this could be a quick series.
I took my winnings from the Suns. I bet the series before it began. And my godson, Andrew, did not listen to me. He believed the Lakers were going to win. I told him, listen to your godfather. I won that. So I took that money. It is now on the Sixers to win the series against the Hawks. I don't believe we will be talking about a second round exit under any circumstances.
Yeah, there are people that are somehow they're scared of this Hawks team because they have some.
Okay. Like talk to me in the series.
And I also believe they won their Super Bowl already.
They acted like it.
Beating the Knicks, they acted like it was, they've arrived, look what happened, blah, blah, blah. Oh, Sixers walked off the court the other night.
Yeah.
That could have been a regular season win the other night.
Look, Atlanta's strength, outside shooting, they have good outside shooters and maybe one of the best in the league, obviously, in Trae Young, is exactly the Sixers' defensive strength.
There you go.
And, you know, I think that matches up well. When your strength is matched, you have to find something else. I don't think Atlanta has that something else.
And if the series went six, there'd be four games where Trae Young goes nuts and plays great. And there will be two games where he shoots like I would. And he's clanking things off backwards and there's going to be problems.
He's going to shoot. Yeah, like Trae Young's going to shoot like John.
No, I'm just saying there will be games where you just go, wow, that's hitting the backboard.
Here's a prime comment. Trae Young, Hunter, Gallinari, and Bogdanovich. Really?
Are you scared?
Really?
Not scared.
We're pointing at those guys?
Not scared. Hey, our inaugural John Kincaid Show Mentorship and Experience Auction is alive and well. In fact, the first item has already gone off the board as it expired. The going to Topgolf and hanging out with Tyrone Johnson went for a nice price already on the board this morning. You had the ultimate game day at the Philadelphia Union with Coach Eric Camille. Right now, you can get in there and jump on in. So make sure that you get in on that. You got 37 minutes left for that one. We already have a bid in, so somebody will be taking that away if it doesn't happen. I'm going to tell you about some amazing items that are debuting today that you can get into. You just want to make sure you hang out with us. It's the John Kincaid Show here on The Fanatic.
Yeah, I'm not scared of Trae Young or DeAndre Hunter or Gallinari or Bogdanovich or Collins or keep naming the entire roster. I'm not scared of them. And what I did was last night, before you find out if Joel Embiid's going to play in game one, I hopped on the BetMGM app and I bet the Sixers -2.5. Because that line's going to go up if he ends up being a good-to-go situation in game one. That's the beautiful thing about BetMGM, though, is the fact that I can hop on now, I can bet that game, I can bet the series, which I did as well, and then, just for good measure, I decided, you know what, let me see what the live line is in that Lakers-Suns game, I bet that. BetMGM has it all, they're the king of sportsbooks, and they also have amazing offers, and one of those offers right now is a chance for you to win an easy $100 in free bets. All you have to do, place $1 on the money line of any single NBA playoff game. If either team hits a three-pointer in that game, either team, doesn't matter. You're going to end up winning an easy $100 regardless of your bet's outcome. You do have to use the bonus code PatEgan100, though, to get in on this offer. So download the BetMGM app. Head to BetMGM.com. Get in on this because it's an easy $100. You put $1 on any NBA team in an NBA playoff game, and when either team hits a three, you end up winning an easy $100. It's too good to be true. Well, it's true. Use promo code PatEgan100. It's a new customer offer. It's paid and free bets. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years or older, Pennsylvania only. If you or somebody knows a gambling problem, help is available. Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with Hollywood Casino Morgantown.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
John Kincaid Show on The Fanatic reminding you that the law firm for injured workers are our friends at Martin Law. Visit paworkinjury.com. They are great folks should you need them. Just always have that in your back pocket. Sometimes I wonder what... And I've become a Mr. Snuffy fan. On our YouTube, I've sort of become a Mr. Snuffy fan. He said he put up a comment, Mr. Snuffy, saying that he heard that the Sixers might lose to the Hawks on his ride-in radio show. He says, I often wonder if the hosts really believe what they're saying. I mean, I guess it's kind of a bummer to hear the Sixers might lose to the Hawks on your morning drive-in. I don't understand.
He listens to Atlanta radio?
That's what I'm saying. Is he listening?
Well, according to Theo in our chat, you know, we're supposed to be terrified because they have Bogdanovich.
Excuse me?
you know.
Terrified by the Hawks?
DeAndre Hunter. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So.
Okay.
You know.
DeAndre Hunter, eh?
Yeah.
So DeAndre Hunter's going to make he's going to make his debut and really just crash onto the scene. And
forgot Clint Capella and he forgot Collins, but it's fine. You know.
It's all right. Yeah.
What do we know, Theo?
But I don't understand, though, because Mr. Snuffy is usually a really good. I don't know if I may be misreading his comment, because there's nobody here thinking that that is in any way wavered towards the Hawks winning the series.
He may be thinking of something else. I don't know.
Maybe
we often say, you know, maybe you're listening to a different show.
Yeah, so. it could be doing that. I'm not sure what was being listened to there, but that was what taking the line there. The minus 200 though. I was hoping that I probably should you have, you know, that's a little bit dicey. I should have waited. Maybe more money comes in on the Hawks.
I took it at 190.
I wanted it, so it gets you in there. The Phillies, by the way, current state of affairs shows absolutely why I do not want to hear any conversation about them being buyers. There is zero reason to invest in this Phillies club. They're not true contenders. It's better not to get rid of any potential assets down on the farm that you might have. And by the way, their farm looks like something out of Grapes of Wrath, their farm system. That means it's old and it's dusty and it's non-productive. I was just perusing some of the internet coverage of writers and blog sites and everything about the Phillies, and it's like, so who will the Phillies be looking to buy at the trade deadline? Guys that might be available. Dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum. There should be nobody they're worried about buying. They shouldn't be buyers. This team should put up a don't spend another dime. Keep every potential player that you think is of any value in your farm system, keep them on. Because the 2021 Phillies are not built to do anything but be mediocre. And I want to see this thing turned around. It's not going to get turned around saying, yeah, this team can win something. And if I hear that they're still in it anymore, well, they're still in it. No, they're not. Look at the Dodgers. Look at the Padres. Look at the good teams in baseball. They're not in it. Look at Tampa Bay. They're not in it.
Yeah. Look.
This team isn't anything.
And you have to look at years down the road of when they can be. I posed the question to Ricky yesterday, and we didn't really get into it as much as I kind of wanted. But this has to be a long-haul thing. There's no immediate fix to this team right now. Because of this, they're not bringing in a superstar. They've already done that, right? They already spent a lot of money, so they're not bringing in superstars. They're down to their, Ricky brought it up, talk about depth. All the depth that they have has been used, and it's not good enough, and that's where they are.
Amen.
And, you know, Andrew McCutchen, a couple home runs the other day, might be turning this season around a little bit. That has to be replaced. And would you be surprised if he breaks down a little bit this year?
No,
not at all.
We've already seen that.
Yeah. There are so many questions to be answered on this team, and you don't have the immediate answers in your farm system. Not even immediate. You don't have long-term answers, I don't think, in your farm system. And you're not going to spend money to get fixed now answers. I don't know what you do.
And it doesn't mean, Pat, that the Phillies are terrible. They are right. They are what we thought they were. They're a middling baseball team.
Yeah, they're good, not great. And
I don't even think they're good.
On paper, they should be good. That's the problem.
Yeah, they're not.
They're not.
26 and 29.
They're not playing good.
No,
they're not playing well.
Or well.
But I think what you do is you do what Matt Klintak did a couple years for the trade deadline is you don't go out, you don't quote mortgage your system. You make minor moves. You trade your 15th best prospect in the system for Wilson Ramos, you know?
Correct.
Which ends up being a good deal. And at the time, it's like, all right, well, guy's not going to amount to much. But it's showing, okay, we're still in the hunt, so we can still compete. But we're not going all in like the team did a couple years there, you know, in the late 2000s, early 2010s, where they were mortgaging everybody. They were trading everybody. You're buying bits and pieces. You can do that. But no,
yeah,
you're not.
I'm talking about trading your 15th best prospect. But I'm talking about anybody that you think. And for the Phillies organization, I was told the other day they have 6 or 7 guys that legit in their system that other teams would probably call about. Other organizations have 12, 15, 20. That the Phillies probably have 6 or 7 that other teams would call about. So what I would do is I'm putting police tape around those 6 or 7 guys. We're not touching any of them. I don't want any of them moved. Because there's nothing about, I don't want to improve the 2021 Phillies. I want to ride this out.
Well, like, see it through a little bit. If Rhys Hoskins turns it around, and I like the way he's approaching the plate this year.
Defensively, much better than
he's horrible, but keep him at first base if he's hitting the ball well? Probably. That's a guy that came up through your system. Alec Bohm at third base. Kind of the same thing. He needs to improve. He needs to get better. But look, it's only his second year.
He's having a bad year.
He's terrible. I agree. It's only his second year.
No, I get it. I'm not writing him off, right. But he's been terrible.
Another guy that came up through the system. Aaron Nola, guy that came up through the system. Spencer Howard, you're hoping. Vinny Velasquez came through the system.
He was traded.
Right. He's a rule five, though.
He wasn't a rule five. He was traded. He was in the Ken Giles trade.
But you're hoping some of these outfielders that we've talked about and that have come up and go back down, like, they could have a nice mix. Maybe in 5 years we're saying, wow, the farm system really paid off. And then you're sprinkling in superstars.
Don't touch it
but
now.
They have to get better. Like, these guys need to get better. The Adam Haseleys and the Kingeries and all those guys, they have to get better. And if they do and they become major leaguers, you could say in five years, wow, they have 6 guys in there from their farm system.
It seems like we were having the same conversation in 2004. Four, five, six. I mean, you looked at the young core that you had coming up, and you're like, okay, well, if a couple of these guys hit, then boom.
Right. Sean already responding, going, John, are you asleep at the wheel? They're already all in. They went with the deal for JT Realmuto. They're paying Bryce Harper top dollar. They're already all in. This is a win now club. I don't even have a comment for it. I don't know what. A win now club? There's nothing about this team that is win now. Nothing about them tells you they're going to win anything. Win now.
That may have been the organization's mentality. Win now. Let's get Bryce Harper for $300 million and JT at $25 a year. The comment that whoever you said Sean made is probably, it could be what the Phillies were thinking. You're right. It's not happening now.
But I'm not a baseball executive. I did tell you that.
Right.
They
tried to go somewhat all in, but it's just not happening.
I don't think they're as far off as you guys think, though. Like, I think when they made those two moves, it wasn't necessarily like we're going to go, quote, all in. We're going to, get Realmuto. We're going to get Harper. And we think we can win now, but with some of the younger guys we have, we should be able to win 3-4 years from now. I think that's one of the reasons they made those moves.
3-4 years from now, that's going to be... Look at Bryce Harper today. What's it going to be 3-4 years from now?
Bryce Harper today is a really good player. When he's healthy.
Right, but he's already breaking down.
Is he breaking down? He's had one injured season. This is it. And it was one trip to the IL.
We asked Ricky yesterday, how you feel about those 10 more years of Bryce Harper coming your way? He goes, I feel sort of good about 3 of them.
Okay.
10 years of that deal.
That deal's going to look like a steal in 10 years. He's getting $25 million.
Okay.
We're acting like it's, he's getting like 40.
Okay. Hawks Sixers round 2, game 1 comes your way Sunday at 1 o'clock. Devon and Bob lead you off.
Yeah, we'll be here 11 o'clock in the morning. Take you right into Brian Seltzer at like 1:45. And then Sixers basketball, 1 o'clock. So, yeah, Devon and I will hit it off Sunday morning.
Pat says there's
That's
only...
That's huge! That's like Sixers
that
huge!
That is Sixers huge. There's only one way Pat says he would start Joel Embiid.
Yeah, look,
only one way.
I know that the masses out there are terrified of Clint Capella. And
it's nerve-wracking.
Yeah, I understand it, okay? I get it. There's literally one way I would start Joel Embiid this series, and that is that if for some strange reason they are facing elimination, and that is it. This team should be able to steamroll the Hawks. Steamroll them. I don't want to hear about DeAndre Hunter. I don't want to hear about Trae Young. Let's be real here. Like, match up rosters. Show me what you saw in the first round. They should be able to walk all over this team. We all said it. Like, 5 games? Maybe it goes 6?
I say 6.
There's no reason that they should ever...
I'm expecting Joel Embiid to miss a few, maybe miss a game or two.
There's no reason that this game should this series, they should ever be facing elimination. If they are, for some reason, that's the only time I'm playing them. Other than that, I'm saving him for the Eastern Conference Finals.
Only problem is, Bob, is that, again, there is nothing about rest that heals what Joel Embiid is facing. So unless he's facing swelling,
but
rest doesn't do him any
good.
But
Bob said, everyone he talked to said, yes, it can get worse.
It can, no question. But I want to get as many of the wins off of 12 that I can before I worry about that. Like, let's say you play Joel Embiid first and second game of the series. You're up 2-0.
Mm-hmm.
Joel Embiid's knee swells up, and he needs management time. He may even have to miss games 3 and 4. I'm fine with that. I don't want it.
No.
But I'm fine with resting him then, because I've already gotten 2 more wins in this series that I put in the win column.
It's probably how you're going to approach it if you're the 76ers, that it's going to be a day-by-day, game-by-game type of situation. I mean, they came out. Well, they didn't come out. Somebody came out and said he's day-to-day. I think that's the true sense of the word. It's day-to-day. After a game, he's not going to be practicing between games. We know that.
No.
It will. The rest thing, yes, it won't get any better. The tear's not going to heal itself. But you're also, as Pat said, not doing the more damage. So there's no way. Look, I'm making a decision. You good to go? Do you know all the scientific study on it or whatever? And the people that I talked to yesterday, it's basically, from the people I talked to, what I got out of it was put a Band-Aid on it and go play. And you have to tolerate with whatever happens. It's on Joel Embiid now, it seems like.
I just don't think the juice is worth the squeeze in this series. And what I worry about is you play him in this series, game one against Brooklyn or Milwaukee,
his
knee's acting up. And that wouldn't happen if he sat this series out. So I just don't think in the long run it's worth
theory.
It.
I like your theory.
I'll counter that. You're going to have to play. He's going to have to play with pain. He's going to have to get used to it. Do you want him getting used to it in that series, or do you want him playing some games in this series, and hopefully, in my opinion, all games in this series, and knowing what he has to do and how he has to get through it?
Yeah, caller has a point.
There you go. Hey, we have some new items that have gone up in our inaugural John Kincaid Show mentorship and experience auction today. So how about this one for you? Starting this morning, one listener gets the Beasley Media Philadelphia Super Ticket. You get a pair of tickets to a marquee event from each of our 5 stations in town. 2 VIP tickets to the next Fanatic Fan Fest. 2 tickets to WMMR's MMRBQ. 2 tickets to the WMGK Brew Blast Beer Festival. 2 tickets to the WXTU Anniversary Concert. And 2 tickets to see Maroon 5. From Ben FM.
You just got Coach's attention.
I'm bidding on that right now.
Coach, you can go in and bid right now. It opened up this morning at 7 a.m. Go to 97.5 The Fanatic. You can get in on that one right there. You have a son or a daughter that wants to get into media sales, marketing, wants to work in this business. If you're interested, you got an incredible opportunity to hang for the day with our Vice President of Sales, Paul Blake. So your kid wants to get into this industry. By the way, meeting Paul Blake is worth the price of admission all in of itself.
He's a great dude.
But to be able, he's in charge of all media sales for those 5 radio stations I just read off. So you may want your kid to be able to get in front of Paul Blake, who, by the way, if you call on the phone and say, hi, I'd like to meet with Mr. Blake. Let me just tell you, you're probably not getting the meeting.
I've tried.
You have, and you still don't.
I work here.
You won't get one of his Goldenberg's peanut chews.
He says, who are you?
Exactly. He's learning about that.
Whose kid is this?
How about there's also a stock car racing experience with Tyrone Johnson?
Why does Tyrone get to do all the cool stuff?
Well, Tyrone would go bust.
He's going to Topgolf.
Ty busted his backside to get these things for us, which is great.
No, great work.
An amazing experience, professional stock car racing experience at NASCAR's famous Pocono Raceway with Ty Johnson.
Oh, the stretch.
That will begin at 8 o'clock. This morning. So, and you have a few minutes left to be able to get in on the dream day with your Philadelphia Union coming up. You've got like 12 minutes left on that one. So you want to be able to get in and make sure that that is checked out. Check out our auction. It all benefits the American Association for Cancer Research, and we greatly appreciate it that you've gotten involved. Bob, you do not consider yourself a power user on Twitter.
No.
You are not that. You are truly not that interested.
What's a power user?
I don't know, but I'm not. Power and Twitter don't really come
together
for me.
Twitter Blue is here. Twitter Blue is designed for power users. I'm glad Pat asked the question because I was wondering.
A power user.
Like, I don't know. Am I a power user? I don't know. You pay a monthly fee to get exclusive features.
I'm out.
Okay, we're talking about $349 or $449.
Yeah, I'm out.
How much do you pay for all those subscription services you have?
How much do I pay or how much do other people pay? And they give me their logins.
Okay,
nah, well, I mean, I probably, you know.
Well, wow. Twitter has announced the launch of Twitter Blue. It's a subscription service designed for power users. Okay, here's what it gives you, which I really, it's like, okay. It allows you to have bookmark folders so you can organize tweets that you save.
Oh, Jesus. Okay.
It is a reader mode that makes it easier to read long threads. So it will break down a thread if you want to go to one thing and then you don't have to scroll through all the threads it comes out to. An option to customize the Twitter app icons on your phones.
Nope.
Okay, I'm not really finding anything that really interests me yet. Access to color themes for the Twitter app. You get to change color on your tweets, which, by the way, if you're trying to get your tweets noticed, that could be something that differentiates it.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Isn't that why people tweet? To get their tweets noticed?
So it could be gold. Well, some people tweet in just delusion. You know, in the radio industry. How about dedicated customer support?
It's the algorithm.
It says dedicated customer support. Okay.
He lost me a power
Twitter.
Just
dedicated customer. What is that?
An undo tweet feature.
So that's where they'll hit their mark.
An undo tweet feature that allows you to set a self-destruct on tweets. You can set the timer from up to 30 seconds to take back a tweet if it needs to be fixed. So it's not an edit button, but if you tweet something and go, oh, I shouldn't have tweeted that, it gives you up to 30 seconds before it's sent.
Never mind. Never mind.
A lot of people in media have had
bad
stuff on social media come back to haunt them. Sometimes they tweet about stuff that doesn't have anything to do with their jobs.
Yeah.
They tweet about, you know, they get into fights on Twitter. I would think this is something that you might want to think about.
Maybe, but
that's worth it.
This is what I don't think so. Personally, for me.
$48 a year to be able to have a self-destruct on your tweets?
Like, this is ridiculous. Twitter users have been begging Jack Dorsey for an edit button for years.
They have been.
If you want your $4.99, all that other crap doesn't matter.
Just say edit.
If you add an edit button, you're going to have a bunch of $4.99. Companies will pay for it there's a typo.
How could it be so hard to create an edit button for Twitter?
It's not. They just don't want to give it to people.
Why, though?
They give 280 characters. Nobody asked for it. They give fleets. Fleets is stupid. Nobody uses it.
I think if it was $4.99 a month, if you offered an edit button $4.99 a month, I believe the guy with maybe 250 followers, 100 followers would do it.
Yeah. I mean, look, I probably once a day I have a typo because I am, you know, type out, hit tweet, don't really read it, and then I reread it and realize that on my iPhone autocorrected something.
Now, maybe for $4 a month, you have the people in radio who believe they're being shadow banned, who believe there's some grand conspiracy to keep their genius stuff off Twitter.
John.
Well, there are people.
Everybody
who
knows
that
Jack is going after Philadelphia radio hosts.
Everyone knows that. I mean, it's unbelievable. You could get, I don't know, I would maybe take that $4 and call a mental health hotline if you actually believe, like, Twitter's against you. I would call, get some mental health help instead of just paying that. But I want the edit button. That's what I want. I would pay $5
Everyone
a month.
Does.
I'd pay $5 a month right now for the edit button. That doesn't seem like it's
not worth it.
That worthwhile.
I give a rat's ass about Twitter.
It doesn't.
Phenomenal
like
job, Gundy.
It doesn't.
It's good. I think companies would jump all over this if there was an edit button.
By the way, I saw where, though, in the same study, so then I linked to two more stories because I go down the rabbit hole, that businesses, though, find a lot more return on investment investing in Twitter than Instagram.
Not surprised.
Instagram is popular with 30 and below. Instagram is far more popular than Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
But businesses find much more return on investment putting money into Twitter than Instagram.
I feel like because 30 and up probably are on Twitter more.
That's
also
and spending.
I think we've all been scrolling and seen the same promoted tweet 50 times to the point where you actually just
block them.
So, I mean, you get a lot of bang for your buck.
All right, the Sixers round two. No excuses. And it begins Sunday. It's the John Kincaid Show here on The Fanatic. You know, the folks at Window Nation realize you've been locked in your homes for over a year. You're getting out now, but when you get outside, you're going to look at your house and go, wow, the curb appeal? Terrible. That's why we need new windows. Plus, we've been spending too much to heat the home, air condition the home, and we're wasting money. So Window Nation allows you to invest in your home right now with this great deal. Buy two windows, get two free. Plus, no money down, no payments, no interest for 2 years until 2023. And you're going to get a vacation voucher if you purchase an entire house full of windows. From a company with 1 million windows installed and an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau, this great deal allows you to take a vacation on them. This is great. Window Nation, two free windows for every two you buy. You're not paying anything. You're not putting any money down. No payments, no interest for 24 months. Plus that vacation voucher if you do your whole house. I want you to do a little window shopping online at windownation.com and then call them at 866-90-NATION. That's 866-90-NATION.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, your Friday morning continues on the John Kincaid Show here on The Fanatic. 8 o'clock hour is brought to you by Martin Law, the law firm for injured workers. Visit paworkinjury.com. Bob, was that you sort of dancing a
little
bit?
Whatever happened to the Katrina and the waves, man? They kind of fell apart too quickly for me.
They drowned.
They drowned.
They did. The wave was too strong.
Wow. 1983, I believe. Ooh. Katrina and the Waves.
Yeah,
was good a, there. It was big. I mean, that's good. Just seeing Bob dance a little bit makes you a little happy.
Go to the bath,
Coach. How did it end there? It was good with your Philadelphia Union experience. Did it finally end? Did that close out in our auction?
Yeah, I was pretty impressed by that. I was watching that thing go up the last, like, 5 minutes or so.
People bouncing around.
Yeah, there were 11 bids on it.
That's awesome.
The winning bid was for $350.
Great. Good job.
Very good.
Good to see people getting in there. Go to the inaugural John Kincaid Show Mentorship and Experience Auction page at 975thefanatic.com. You can find it. Because remember that cancer research saves lives. It all benefits the AACR, and we appreciate everybody getting involved in those. And we have another one we're going to tell you about. With Bob, Jamie, and Pat. You want to hang out with Bob, Jamie, and Pat? You're going to have your opportunity, and we'll tell you all about that one coming up. Paul Blake, by the way, saying that he was a little offended there, I think, Pat. He says he would pay money to hang out with you.
How much? Am I cheap?
You brought up a great deal with Paul Blake, the media and sales and marketing star for a day.
Yeah.
You thought of the great backdoor into radio.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, this could, if you're a parent of a high school or a college junior who's set to graduate next year, or if you're a college junior and you're majoring in business, you want to get in sales, hop all over this, because this could get your introduction into getting an internship, which Correct. Could lead to literally a career. Like, I got my start in radio by interning at the Fanatic.
I did too.
Coach was dumb enough to hire me as an intern, and then I just kept coming in. So, you know, think of the long term. We always talk about it with Joel Embiid, the long term. Think about the long term play of this. Investing a couple $100 going to charity and then possibly getting a career out of it is totally worth it.
Could work out, you know. So make sure you are in with us on this auction. We'll tell you more about it. Bob, Jamie, and Pat in an event coming up. Now, that will lead you to no guarantees of any kind of career or anything.
No.
Might be some fun, but we'll tell you
about
it.
It'll definitely be fun.
It'll be fun. So that's a totally different one.
Even with Pat there.
You know, Sunday is going to be the start of the must-win series. No excuses. I don't care if they have Joel Embiid or not. Because the minimal expectation of the 2021 season was minimum that they advance past the second round of the playoffs. They had to get to the Eastern Conference Finals. And I know Doc Rivers yesterday morning didn't want to hear anything about that.
Because in his mind, he said, our goals are a lot higher than that.
I love hearing that.
It was a great answer. It's just a great answer.
Put it on a t-shirt.
That he doesn't give a flip about, oh, winning a second round series? No, no, no. That wasn't our goal. And that's not our objective. So that, Doc was giving you a little behind the scenes yesterday. It's the truth. This team has high expectations. And a summer of talking about a disappointing loss in the second round, I am not here for. It is not worth it to me. So the Sixers need to set the next standard, the next level of expectation, and that is a berth in the Final Four. And they have to be there. And they've got to get to the conference finals, and it all begins Sunday. No excuses, no talking about Joel Embiid and his availability. That is a series when you're asked to win 4 out of 7 games that you should absolutely win. And that's where we begin this 8 o'clock hour. Bob Cooney, Pat Egan, in for the vacationing Jamie Lynch. Connor's working the board today behind the scenes with Coach and with Mike on YouTube, who has a special project he helped me with that I'll tell you about this hour. A little love note that I put together, what Mike put together.
He killed it.
He did. He really did a great job. He's brilliant. On the John Kincaid Show. So, Pat, when you hear no expectation, I mean, Doc did not want any parts of the low expectations. When I brought up second round, that's it. He was like, no.
Yeah.
That was not our expectation.
And I think a lot of Sixers fans are looking to just get over that second round hump and get to the East Round Final.
Yeah. Raising my hand.
You've talked about it, though. Mm-hmm. When they won against, all of a sudden I'm drawing a blank. When they won against, who did they just beat?
Washington?
Thank you. Yeah,
the Wiz. Nobody beats the Wiz.
Look, everybody on YouTube's right. I don't watch basketball. When they beat the Wizards, they just walked off the court.
They walked off the court.
The Hawks acted like they just won the championship. Now, look, that's different circumstances because Trae Young was really getting it at MSG.
And he was awesome.
I loved it. I loved every second of it. He wanted to shut them up. That was great. But there was a different mindset, a different feel. When the Sixers won their first series years ago, I think it was against Miami.
Yes.
They kind of acted like the Hawks did. They kind of acted like, all right, like, you know, we're finally getting there.
We've arrived.
But, look, Doc's right. Like, you have bigger goals than this. And if you somehow lose this series,
there it is.
That's inexcusable. Inexcusible.
I'm holding you responsible because I always sort of describe you as the adult in the room for this show.
Yeah, what a bad room.
I am not. Seriously. So I'm just flat out saying it. No excuses. None of that. And I love the fact that Doc Rivers sort of put me in my place yesterday on that, going, oh, no, John. There's no discussion of second round being the expectation. I was just talking about it being the minimal expectation from fans. And Doc's like, yeah, we're not even thinking about that.
No.
And swagger and confidence is great.
Yeah. It's the truth. You're the one seed. You're not. We shouldn't even be talking about what if they lose this. They're not going to lose this series.
And they're not.
No, they're not. And they should have that confidence. And Doc should have that outlook. And you're not looking past anyone. Like, I'm not jumping
not
over this.
Right.
Look, I just think that Atlanta doesn't match up with the Sixers. That's why I say Sixers in five. You know, I that's how I look at it. I'm not a Sixers, you know, no matter what, they're going to win. I just think that this is a terrible, terrible matchup for the Atlanta Hawks. But yeah, the Sixers as players, as coaches, as a staff, as an organization, you are the number one seed. You are the top dog. You need to win this second round, and your focus has to be all over this second round, and you don't look past it at all. But yeah, that's not a thought of not winning it. Can't even creep close to the buildings.
I promise you. And again, I've got enough of it in my system over the years of living there. They believe they've already won. They've already checked the box that gives them great satisfaction. They know in their heart of hearts they aren't winning anything. Atlanta can talk all the crap they want, and they're not. They're not going to talk crap in this series like they did with the Knicks. But the fan base can jabber all they want. They can get excited if Shaq says, well, if Joel Embiid doesn't play, Hawks in five. Shaq, I'm honestly, I want him in concussion protocol later today. I hope TNT puts him in there. I don't care if Joel Embiid plays or not. The Hawks aren't winning that series. It's not happening.
He really said that?
If Joel Embiid misses the series, Hawks in five.
Wow. Okay. Do me a favor. Get ready to send that to Cold Takes Exposed. This is a situation, though, where I love having Doc Rivers because for the one of the problems I had with Brett Brown was I felt like he felt the pressure. You're sitting there saying as a fan.
I think you did too.
You're sitting there saying as a fan, like, all right, they need to get past the second round. You need to get over that hump. I felt like Brett Brown felt the same way. Doc Rivers, a veteran coach who's been there before, who's won a championship, is going, second round, we're not looking at the second. We have way bigger goals than that. I don't think you get that from Brett Brown.
Now, if Joel Embiid does not play, I want everybody on the record. Joel Embiid does not play in the series at all. I'm going to tell you, Sixers. I will pick it Sixers and seven. If Joel Embiid, he doesn't play one game, I say seven. Joel Embiid plays in the series, I will say six. I want to maybe lean five, but I'm going to say six.
Yeah, if Embiid doesn't play
at all,
it'll probably go six.
Okay.
Yeah.
If he does play,
like I said, five.
Okay.
Yeah.
Pat, on the record.
I think if he doesn't play at all, I still think it goes five. Maybe I'm Billy Mumfrey in this. Look, Atlanta has a lot of nice pieces. I mean, Lou Williams was a guy I wanted at the trade deadline. I was hoping that they would get him, and he goes back home to Atlanta. I still think that this is a bad matchup defensively for Atlanta.
It is a bad matchup.
I can't envision, even if Joel Embiid doesn't play, I'll tell you right now, if you get the Dwight Howard that you got in game five, I think it's a lock that it goes five. I don't think it gets to six at all, because the Dwight Howard that you got in game five was dialed in. Like, he was hitting his free throws, he was blocking shots, he was rebound. Like, that is exact. I sat there watching it going, oh my God, thank God we don't have Kyle O'Quinn and Amir Johnson anymore. Like, we actually have a backup center that you can rely on. If you get that guy, yeah, it's five.
Connor, do you have a number? Does it change either way?
Yeah, it does. So without Embiid, I think it's a six-game series. So Sixers and six. With Embiid, if he plays, four-game sweep. They don't have an answer for
okay.
him. Clint Capella Embiid.
They don't. I actually wondered whether Washington had more bodies to throw at Embiid than Atlanta does.
Oh, they had a lot of them. Yeah, they had three
more
guys.
More bodies, right.
Yeah, you can find bodies. That's the thing. Look what we're saying. Bodies against Embiid. We're not talking talent. We're not talking anything, but
no
guys that can commit fouls, that can, you know, try to keep him out of a lane or whatever it may be. But look, there's not a team in the league that can stop him. There just isn't. I don't care if it's Rudy Gobert and company. You're not going to stop a Joel Embiid. It's just a matter of how are you diagramming how to play him.
Rudy Gobert couldn't stop Ben Simmons.
He only had 42 on him.
That's a good point.
That's
a good point.
That game was it truly is a right now. I worry though. Anytime I'm this confident, I do worry.
I do too. I'm right there with you.
When I'm this confident, looking at it and saying they have no answers for what these Sixers are going to throw at them, they don't have enough. And I'm saying too, they don't have enough bodies. They don't have enough.
Yeah,
I don't want to be demeaning to an NBA team. I'm not trying to be demeaning.
No, not at all.
But they don't have the bodies to throw at them.
Yeah, I don't say I think the Sixers are going to win in five because I hate Atlanta or Sixers. I literally look at every game and every series and every matchup the same. I don't care if it's Denver playing Phoenix or something like that. I look at the Sixers-Atlanta the same. I just don't see Atlanta matching up with the Sixers on both ends of the court very well at all. I don't see it.
Yeah, I think they're a very young team that has some talent, but they just don't have as much talent as the Sixers, even without Embiid. I don't see how they get to six. Trae Young really has to go off.
And there's going to be a game or two where he does.
But as they showed you, I mean, you can afford for a guy to go off.
Right.
You can't afford for Trae Young, DeAndre Hunter, Clint Capella to go off or, you know, throw in another guy.
Mattress Firm's best Memorial Day sale ever has been extended for a limited time. Shop and save up to $500 on top-rated brands like Sealy and Sleepy's. Tom in Newtown Square checks in. Tom,
hey,
good
guys.
Morning.
How you doing?
I got a little concerned because my brother lives in Newtown Square and his name's Tom.
All right, so I don't know what you guys got in there, but and I know this isn't exactly how basketball works, but let's assume Embiid doesn't play. I'm going to ask you real quick, position by position, who you rather have, Trae Young or Simmons?
Simmons.
Oh, okay. All right, Bogdanović or Curry?
Curry.
Ooh, Hunter or Green?
Bogdanović.
You'd go Bogdanović?
I'm Michael Bogdanović.
Oh, God, yeah.
Okay, let's put it this way. It could be. You say it's not even close.
I think
he's
close.
A much better defender. Curry's allergic to defense.
Okay, well, you just talked about Trae Young and Ben Simmons, and obviously you didn't take defense into consideration because one player could be the defensive player of the year, and the other one is pretty much going to do nothing on defense.
Trae Young is obviously not even close to the defender Simmons. There's no doubt.
No.
Young,
he doesn't play. He's not going to play defense at all.
I'm not disagreeing with that. But Trae Young is a much better point guard in the sense of creating shots for himself, creating shots for others, getting assists, getting points. I mean, he does things on the offensive end in the half court set that Simmons still dreams about.
Okay, Bob, do you want to answer that?
I'll go with you, shooter over Simmons. Your shooter, other stuff, yes. I don't shooter, think he's way better than Simmons
mind.
At all.
I think you're out of your mind.
In a half court set, Bob, who creates more shots for others? In a half court set, not fast break.
Sixers game isn't a half court set.
That's not their game.
But you know, in the playoffs, it becomes more of a half court set. Fair?
The first round series for the Knicks and the Hawks, and for the Sixers and the Wizards, neither one of those were considered half court playoff basketball series. So I don't. I reject that completely.
Here's the DUI test. Would you rather have Capella or Howard?
Yeah, Capella is getting bashed on this show. I don't mind his game. He could be a little bit of a problem.
I think I take that Capella. I take that as a
he can rebound his ass off.
Guys, let's take off the rosy glasses here. Think Capella is way better than Howard. And
Tom,
as a GM at this point in his career.
Oh my god,
career. Capella's way better.
Wow, I'll tell you, Tom. I'm going to suggest to you that you're a little scared of something. Maybe it's that I watched the Hawks for so long. I don't buy it. I don't buy it at all.
No, look.
I do believe there's some matchups where you go, okay, but it's not even. I don't even think the series is close.
Yeah, like Curry Bogdanovich is close.
That's close.
I would take DeAndre Hunter over Danny Green, but Danny Green's veteran presence. And Jamie pointed it out yesterday, which is a great point. He's not hitting his shots. He gets back defensively and really turned kind of the tide going into the second half. DeAndre Hunter has a brighter future than Danny Green, obviously.
No question.
That's
right.
Not even an argument. You're right. Clint Capella's probably getting crapped on a little too much.
No, he is because...
I mean, he led the league in rebounds.
Well, they're one of the best rebounding teams in the NBA.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, they play good defense. And when you play good defense, it forces teams to miss shots. There's more rebounds to be had, and that's how they...
And you guys pointed out a great point. Like, when Nate McMillan came in, all of a sudden, the light switched to defense.
Yeah, and like, comparing position by position, like he was doing, Tom, I believe it was.
Yes.
Okay, I hear what you're doing, but it's not that. You have a Danny Green and you have a Seth Curry because they are what make a Joel Embiid better. Individually, are you going to match them up against other players? Probably not. In order to get Joel Embiid to the level of play that he's gotten, those two are a big, big part of it.
Do they have... Who is the... coming off the bench... Who was the Hawks' Thibault and Maxey?
Well, I think Lou Williams would be...
I like
Lou Williams
one.
Isn't getting a lot of run,
right, he
though.
Doesn't even get...
He is, okay.
Yeah, no, he's really not... I hear what you're
name
saying.
Wise, name-wise, yeah. You go, oh, Lou Williams. Lou Williams isn't the...
All right, I'll shut my mic off.
No,
I'm shutting it off.
But who are they?
Herder.
No,
redheaded assassin?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we've seen his game. We saw him play, you know, obviously, Maryland a little bit. Like, I've seen that game on a million people. Is he as good as that?
I kind of like him.
Yeah, I don't mind him.
Two years from now, I think that could be a completely different story with Herder.
Yeah, it
could
be.
You tell me he gets more playoff experience and things are old. Absolutely.
Yeah,
they're a good young team.
Could he be the Rui Hachimura, the guy that breaks out?
Boy, he's fantastic.
I mean, Rui was a starter and Herder isn't, but...
No.
Like, they kept repeating over and over, like, Rui Hachimura growing up in front of our eyes.
Yeah. There you go. Just
like,
saying.
Their bench. All right, you go to a closeout game against the New York Knicks. So you want to close that out. You're not messing around if you're Nate McMillan getting that game over with. Their bench, you had two guys play double-figure minutes. And it's Herder playing 20 and Gallinari playing 18. After that... You have three guys that played six, 7 minutes. They don't have much of a bench.
No, there's seven guys on that team. There's seven guys that Nate McMillan believes in seven guys on that team, maybe. Maybe.
You can't win a championship like that.
Well, they're not going to win a championship.
I know that, but
Lou Williams, I love Lou Williams. God, I love
Bob,
Lou Williams.
How many
and
minutes
I agree
did he
you.
Play in that series?
Seven. Oh, in that, what? I don't know. Games,
in the closeout game, he played seven minutes. 7 minutes.
I know he played, I want to say 10 or 11 the game before because I had been keeping an eye on it.
I think he averaged around 9 or 10 minutes for the series.
Yeah, so He might be on the downslide.
Did they get him for veteran presence?
Yes. Oh, I think so. Part of it. Right. Hey, golf is the perfect sport to profit on with PropSwap. Oh, PropSwap is bursting with bets on your favorite golfers. Go to PropSwap.com and check it out today. So, Mike absolutely does a fantastic job. What were you just... Oh, you turned
you
off
just
the
shut my mic off. Yeah.
Mike is our YouTube director. And he does such an amazing job. And Pat, I'll let you distribute it on the John Kincaid Show Twitter feed. His video, which he came up with. I thought that the Sixers series versus Atlanta deserved a little love note. And I wanted to just, you know, send a little kiss back electronically through the airwaves to the matchup between the Sixers and Atlanta. And one of the things I wanted to showcase was that every time Atlanta sees Philadelphia in the postseason, it's disaster. We are their nightmare. They hate Philly with every bone in their body. It all goes back, honestly, to the 93 Phillies. And that makes them hate. Just the 93 Phillies hate is so prevalent down there. And it's still talked about. But then every single time the Falcons think they've got something cooking, and then Philadelphia comes up in their way in the postseason, it's kicking the balls, kicking the balls, kicking the balls. And then they even came back for banner night and got kicked in the balls. So I asked Mike to really put together something that sort of embodies it. And he did a fantastic job. I'm going to distribute it now to you on our social media. It'll get out there. And also I'm going to put it on my own page too. A little love note to the fans of Atlanta. And just to tell them, we know what's coming. This isn't Mayor of Easttown. We're not throwing out any spoilers. This is just to tell you what's coming. Because what's coming is going to be some pain. And that when one city stands your way, do we have any city like that? We took care of the Boston thing with the Eagles winning the Super Bowl over the Patriots will always be one of my favorite parts of the Eagles winning the Super Bowl was that it was against the greatest quarterback ever, the greatest coach ever. That's always going to make it even more special. That you didn't do it against
Jacksonville,
the Tampa Bay Rays. Like, I mean, the Phillies winning the, oh, it didn't matter. But the Phillies winning the World Series, the two World Series they won, the Kansas City Royals and the Rays, just didn't seem as big. Like, the next year in 09, I'm like, okay, beat the Yankees.
Yeah.
Like to see that.
I know.
Because it was awesome, but beat the Yankees. This is for Atlanta. They just get. Every time they see Philadelphia, they know what's coming. It's going to be a kick to the beanbags. So
we're really nice people once you get to know us.
Yes, we are nice people.
But I think the person that I blame, I don't know about you, Bob, I blame Kincaid.
Why?
Because we know how you are. We've worked with you for a little bit now, and we know that you probably let Atlanta and reminded them over and over again so that you really, you fueled that hate.
Oh, I did.
Way to go.
I absolutely did.
And now me and Bob have to hear about it?
Well, hopefully you'll...
It's not fair.
I think Bob's
I can't handle myself.
Bob is like LeBron. He's got very broad shoulders. You can just climb on, Pat.
I fancy myself an Anderson Varejao.
He'll take care of you. All right, we got a lot coming up for you. Bob says the Sixers have two max players. We'll get to that. Plus more on this Sixers-Hawks series. It's the John Kincaid Show on The Fanatic. You know, as a two-time cancer survivor, I can tell you point blank, cancer research saves lives. And for every one of you who's ever donated to the American Association for Cancer Research or who is considering doing it today, I thank you. Because there are roughly 17 million Americans just like me who are cancer survivors today. How? Because of private citizens like you helping the bright minds, doctors and nurses and researchers make great breakthroughs in the care of cancer. So the American Association of Cancer Research will help everyone in your family, friends, all people you know, that when they face this battle, they've got somebody who's on their side. And donations add up. That's what our experience auction is about right now. Visit AACR.org/fanatic. That's AACR.org/fanatic to make a donation today. I promise you this, cancer research saves lives. I'm an example of it. Get involved today and check out all of our auction items available for you at 975thefanatic.com.
975 The Fanatic. Mm-hmm.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Reminder to you that Martin Law is the law firm for injured workers. Visit paworkinjury.com. I remember, Bob, do you remember when the Flyers used this as their television song?
What?
The Flyers used this as their television song.
And you wonder
song.
Why they haven't won a Stanley Cup
in 50
years.
No, this is when they were still good.
It's only been 46, Pat.
It's only 46 years.
I rounded up. I rounded up. My bad.
God, you're so negative on them. It's amazing. I guess it was like a Philly 57 or something.
Next year, they make the playoffs.
Well, they're supposed to, right?
Yeah, because they miss, they make, they miss, they make.
They miss, they make, they miss, they make. I love the, I love our YouTube crew this morning. A gentleman sums it up, Justin James.
Sounds good
like
name.
A, sounds like a stripper. Justin James.
Nah, it sounds like an old time.
Sounds like
you know.
Sounds like somebody I see on lobstertube.com.
Justin James saying the Atlanta Hawks haven't been the haven't been relevant since Josh Smith. Wait a minute, they weren't that relevant then. I mean, honestly, do you want my pair of Jay Smooths?
My what?
His shoe. Well, he had his own shoe.
Did he?
Yes.
With what brand?
I'll bring them in. Jay Smooths.
What brand?
Oh God,
they were. I think Adidas. Maybe I'll bring them in next week.
Thank God he was restricted and the Sixers didn't sign him.
Josh Smith sneakers that were like high top leather, really nice looking shoe.
Yeah.
But
it was a dress Smith. Shoe.
No, it would sort of have been a dress sneaker.
A dress sneaker. That's all the rage anymore.
Like the Air Bombay loafer for kids who want to coach.
I'm bringing him in.
Bring him in.
I'll bring him in. The Josh Smith, Jay Smooths. What size are you? What size are your feet, Patty?
No personal questions.
Connor?
11 and a half.
You're 11 and a half? You'd be a little tight then.
What are we talking? Shoe size? I'm a 12.
See, you guys can't fit in them then. We just put them up, those J Smooths.
I went to, this was
like he had his own shoe.
It's probably God. Like 2010, 2011. Me and my buddy were in the mall. We went to Foot Locker and the guy comes up and he, no, hey, can I help you guys out? And I said, yeah. Where are those Spencer Halls at? Those Air Spence. And we just started naming everybody on the Sixers team. Oh, do you have Lou Williams' signature shoe?
Ah, that's cool. Is that what you did for fun back then?
Yeah. I lived a simple life, yeah. Bobby. Yeah. Not all of us can watch sports and have sex. Cool.
Chris says people are getting twisted when saying fear or scared. Instead of dismissing the Hawks, I don't think anyone says they're scared of them, but 90% are being dismissive. I'm just asking. Are you dismissive of it? You don't believe there's any way they're losing the series.
I don't. It doesn't mean I never dismiss anybody.
No, you're not dismissing
them. I just think when you play a game and you put the talent of it. Look, Joel Embiid's going to play.
At some point, he's going to play.
I think he's going to play right off the bat. I really do. I think from the information I gathered yesterday, and again, let me say non-Sixers people just getting some background, I think he's going to play. And I just think this team is better, not just a little bit, but a lot better than the Atlanta Hawks. And I don't see the Hawks winning more than one game. I could be wrong. I'm just saying that's how I see it.
But there's nothing that is a hot take about that or anything.
Yeah, I don't dismiss. I never, in sports, you never, ever dismiss.
All right, in Cooney's Corner, there's two guys that he says are maxi.
Now, let's see what's in Cooney's Corner.
Well, Coach, shorten us up a little bit on this. Here was my point from the other night. So you got two players on the floor in Ben Simmons and in Tobias Harris, players, that are out there on a time where the game was close. It's a closeout game for the Sixers. And actually, I had either somebody on Twitter or an email or somebody got in touch and said, isn't it crazy? I don't know if it was specifically to me. Isn't it crazy? You have two max players on the floor, and I don't think they were saying it in a nice way. They weren't. You have two max players on the floor, and you're running your offense through Tyrese Maxey. I love it. I don't think you have to be down on that. I don't think you have to say, oh, my God, they're not earning their money. You shouldn't assign them this much. When push comes to shove in a closeout game, you're really running your offense through Tyrese Maxey. Why not? He was the hot guy.
He was
the guy who was getting wherever he wanted to go. Whether you can stop it or not as an opponent, you know what Ben Simmons and Tobias Harris are. And a lot of times you can't stop it, and they're really good at that. But what's wrong with having another one out there that you're like, oh, man, this kid's getting wherever he wants. He's getting the ball to whoever he wants, and he's getting good shots. And you still have to worry about Tobias Harris and Ben Simmons doing what they do well offensively. I thought it was awesome, and I thought it was another wrinkle that Doc Rivers has at his disposal to make teams a little bit more nervous about the Sixers. Sure.
Make them think.
Sure.
It's probably my favorite thing that Doc Rivers has brought to this team as compared to last year under Brett Brown is the fact that he is willing to go where the game takes him. So if Tyrese Maxey is going off, all right, well, then I'll keep him in. I'm not going to rotate him out because he's a rookie and because that's what I'm supposed to do. No, if the game's going through Tyrese Maxey, let the kid ball out, you know, and he was. I mean, he's so shifty and quick. I think Zoo said that Tyrese Maxey's probably the only guy that can keep up with Ish Smith on the court. He was right. Defensively, Doc talked about it yesterday. He's gotten so much better defensively that he's earned the playing time. So give him the playing time.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with exactly what Pat said in that Doc does let the game come to him. And he kind of rides it. Look, he made a decision in game one or two of this last series. Sorry, Shake, I can't let you play it out. You're done. And then when Maxey did what he did, boom, there it is. He let him go. So I do think that is a very big part of Doc Rivers' coaching philosophy of what they give, we take, and we'll try to exploit it even more.
Maxey's ability to get to the hoop and either take it all the way or just pop in that floater is what's impressing the most. Because I have no idea what he's doing. You know, he's so fast, and the defender probably doesn't either. And his floating shot is so damn good. I've been so impressed with that. I mean, like, I'm not breaking news here. I think we all have been, but... He's going to be a really good player. We talked about the James Harden trade, going back on it. I was thinking about watching the other night. Thank God they didn't trade that guy.
He made one of the most mature defensive plays that I've seen a young player make the other night, and that was you had Russell Westbrook doing his patented go to the basket, you know, as hard as he can. He jumped up with him. Now you're thinking that's not a great play, jumping up with him when you're a smaller guy that Maxey is, and just kept his hands back. That is so difficult to do for a young player. If you're jumping up, you're obviously going for ball. He didn't. He jumped up and said, I'm just going to be a detriment to you getting to the basket, and never moved his hands. It was such a really good... He may have been called for the foul anyway, but it was such a mature and good defensive play. This kid's got something even more than just the physical stuff we're seeing.
Yeah, I all I could think of was Jamie way back when the draft happened saying... If the tournament goes down, you don't get Maxey, and boy was the bro right.
Worked out well. Good for him. Hopefully he had fun at his white party last night.
Oh, God.
Can you imagine?
Yes. Him?
No, but you can't.
Like, we started this joke that he was the one percenter, and the more that he talks about what he's doing in the weekends...
Going to the white party.
Yeah, I'm learning, he actually does live this life.
It's the white party.
If you notice, though, he always has a caveat.
Well, it wasn't me that...
That's my point. Oh, yeah. Well, I got these Lululemon $130 sweatpants. I had a coupon code.
How many people do you hang out with that would throw a white party for their wedding? Seriously.
So, did you guys try to get in touch with them at all this weekend yet?
No.
So, I called them last night because I just wanted to say...
Him?
You missed them.
No. I just wanted to say, hey, laugh. And that was the ride and all.
Missed his face.
He changed his voicemail to, I am not taking calls this weekend. Thank you. Click.
What? Did he really?
See how bougie he's gotten?
Wait a minute.
Wow. Yeah.
I need that recorded.
Uh-huh.
I need that recorded.
Wow. He might have changed it back, but...
I am not taking calls this weekend?
Sorry, I'm in the Hamptons, and I'm not taking calls this weekend. And that was the music that was playing.
I'm in the Hamptons?
Yeah.
It is.
I am in the Hamptons. I am not taking calls this weekend. Click. And this music was playing in the background.
He talked about his wife buying like a veggie wrap or something that they could split. So... Did they cut it up on the plane, on the private plane?
I don't know.
Or did they...
I'm laughing is that, what is a white party?
You ever seen the movie Get Out?
In the Hamptons, many of the parties would be considered white parties. There's very much, they really go for the very fancy clothing, the white linen, you're wearing white linen shirts and linen slacks and white shoes to go with it and a white belt.
Oh, yeah, white long sleeve shirt that it might, when you roll up the sleeves, because that's how Jamie looks when he goes up there, it might have like the blue underlying on the cuffs.
At a white party?
Yeah, he had to roll them up twice so he could show no color.
Yeah, you can't. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Well, and Jamie, that's he becomes a lobster in the sun. I mean, he's SPF 150. He just fries.
Bougie, bouge, bouge.
All that money that Jamie has, and still, the sun will get you.
All the money he inherited. You know, back in it's probably from the great, great, great grandfather, the estate.
Oh, you didn't know Jamie was a Rockefeller?
I didn't realize that. So Lynch just like merged off of, they were like an offshoot of the Rockefellers.
Yeah.
Man, it's unbelievable. You had a question for me, Pat.
Yes. Why are you the way you are?
Don't even ask. You could have asked
myself out.
Yes.
If you guys are unaware out there, the listeners, John lived in Atlanta for a couple months.
Yeah, a couple months of my life.
So you were down there. You were surrounded by the fan base. You know what it's like when the teams are good. You know what it's like when the teams are bad. Obviously, the Hawks have got a lot of fanfare right now. They're a trendy team. They're exciting. I mean, Trae Young's one of the best young guards in the league. What are the Sixers in for when they head down to Atlanta? What are they in for in terms of... you saw what happened when Trae Young went into the Garden. It was a nasty crowd, and that was kind of a similar situation. The Knicks are on, the upswing. Hawks are on the upswing. Trae Young got it a lot. Are the Sixers in for a similar situation, or is it more of a relaxed fan base down there?
Oh, no. It'll be a great atmosphere for Atlanta. I was told probably 2,000 to 2,500 Knicks fans found their way into the building because it's a transplant city. I mean, it's not a city where the majority of the city grew up somewhere else. So and has moved there, and they've moved there with their allegiances to their teams. So when you get the Laker fans who are like, just people, anybody who just wanted to cling on to a winner. But like when the Knicks come to town, when the Yankees come to town, when things like that, all the New Yorkers that have transplanted to Atlanta because they can actually lead a nice quality of life down there, they go down there and they don't leave. So they're still Knicks fans, but they live in Atlanta. So they went out. I'd say the Sixers will probably be able to get there's a strong contingent of Philadelphians down in Atlanta.
I may know a few people in my family that'll be attending, hopefully, Game 3 of the Atlanta Sixers series.
I would suggest to you, weekend games in Atlanta are great. Great.
Okay.
So that'll be Friday, Sunday of next week, or...
Meaning great as in, like, is it a hostile place to play?
I don't know that it's hostile, but it's to me, loud. It gets loud. That building gets loud.
But I never encountered that.
Because you weren't there when they were...
Right, I wasn't there when they were good, were the Sixers.
Right, exactly.
For a lot of years. But to your point, there's so many transplants, so many people down there that are Sixers fans. Is it going to be loud for, like, what team is it going to be loud for?
Oh, no, the Sixers will not get that many people in the building.
Okay.
No, it'll be, you may again, like, I was told the other night probably 2,000 to 2,500 Knicks fans, and then you've got the Hawks fans, and the Hawks fans drowned them out the other night.
Okay.
There was no, like, when the Knicks did something great, occasionally you'd hear a little bit of a cheer off the crowd.
Yeah.
Nothing like what when the Hawks are going well. Trae Young's a rock star. He's been great. But again, it's much like with it, there's Walmart alumni. It's much like the Walmart alumni for college teams. You got these, I got some Fugazi relatives that are Walmart Villanova fans. They go to Walmart, they buy their Villanova t-shirt, and they're a Villanova fan.
They join the winning tradition.
The Hawks have sort of come out of nowhere. So now you might get trampled going into a sporting goods store because everyone's got to go out and get their brand new Hawks hat, brand new t-shirt. It's not like college football. It's not like Falcons either. People laugh about the Falcons. Falcons do great. Falcons do great selling tickets.
That's what I was curious about, was like when the Hawks come into Philly, we know that Trae Young's getting it.
Yes.
The fan base will let him hear it. Whereas, my preconceived notion about Atlanta was, it's not going to be that bad.
No, it won't be that bad. It'll be loud, though.
It's a great crowd.
It's a great building when they've got something to cheer about. It's a great building.
I'll tell you what was telling to me is the fact that you said it a few times, that you can get your hair cut at Killer Mike's place. They have Topgolf.
Top
and I'm thinking
golf.
To myself, one of the things I like about Philadelphia is there aren't these distractions in an arena. Yes, it makes the arena cool, but in Philadelphia, it's, well, no, we're here to watch a game.
In Atlanta, it's about being seen.
Yeah, you can tour the CNN studios before you go into the game.
Yeah, you're right there. CNN studios are connected to
Why would I want to do that?
Yeah.
Well, exactly.
I'm just telling you the things you can do.
You can go think. They let you.
You walk through Olympic Park on your way to the arena.
Yeah, it's great. It's a great venue. Yeah. But again, they don't need to have Killer Mike's Swag Shop in the Wells Fargo Center. Because if you're there to see a Sixers game, you're there for a Sixers game.
Yeah, like
the Hawks have to drag people in with all this other stuff. Because that's what they need to do. And it's because they don't have generational fans. You know, if it's your pro sports began in 66.
Yeah.
They didn't have pro sports.
And if you're a transplant, you're raising your kid to be a fan of the team that you like.
If Olivia wanted to eat, she knew she was born in Atlanta, born in Northside Hospital. She was told, do you want to eat? You will be an Eagles fan from the time she was born. She chooses that very brightly. And then on her own, Father's Day when she was 10, she said, and Christina goes, whatever you do, she's got a great Father's Day gift for you. So we always go to the beach at Father's Day. And she said, she got a gift for you. Just, she put a lot of thought into this.
It was a picture of you.
No, she came out. She goes, Dad, close your eyes. When I opened my eyes, she was wearing a Phillies hat, and she had a new Phillies hat for me that matched it. And she said, Dad, I'm going to be a Phillies fan just like you.
That's cool.
So she became a Phillies fan.
Yeah, connected.
So now, and then all the boys she goes to school with, you know, constantly are busting her chops about things. And then she just goes, she was relentless. When the Eagles won the Super Bowl, relentless.
Good.
Oh, yes.
Talk your
crap. Oh, yeah. She got it all. But I didn't make her with any other sport. I said, look, Eagles is too important. She loves it. She loves the Eagles. She loves going to games. Enjoys it very much. But the Phillies thing was big. There's not, the Braves have a strong heritage fan base. The Falcons are developing one, and they've done a really good job with it. Hawks, it's new.
Okay.
It's new.
Yeah.
It's a party scene.
That's why they were so happy they won that first round series over the
Knicks. Correct. It's like a celebration for them. More
congrats.
More athletes live in their off seasons in Atlanta than any other city.
Why?
It's affordable to live. You can live real upscale, good weather. You also too, it is the city too busy to hate. It is a great city to be an entrepreneur of any skin color, of any race, color, creed. It is a fantastic place to live.
Yeah, Tyler Perry has
set
up there.
Tyler Perry took over Fort McPherson and turned it into one of the greatest production. Now it's becoming one of the greatest television and movie production in the entire country. So there's a lot of stuff there for them.
Yeah, but we have Rocky.
Gonna kill. Look at,
we have Mayor of Easttown.
Gonna win this game.
What do you got?
Mayor.
Atlanta.
There's
hot.
Draft lines with Devon tonight, not with Jamie. So no Jamie tonight. Jamie will be at the wedding tonight.
Oh. So is it a black tie wedding, I wonder? I'm being honest. Did he say to you guys if it's a black tie affair?
If you have a white party where you're making everybody wear all white the night before your wedding, wouldn't that mean
it's
that you're
extra?
Wouldn't that mean, I'm telling you,
it's a lot of extra.
I can't imagine asking people that I'm related to say, okay, the night before a wedding, we're having a party and everybody must wear all white.
On the beach barefoot.
I think I'd get a bunch of rejections just saying, no, well, we're not.
That sounds like we're not doing it.
I'll almost make a bet that Jamie spilled some red wine on himself.
I'm guessing marinara.
Oh, okay. That's a good guess, too. Or some type of food.
Cocktail shrimp has the cocktail sauce. I'm guessing it's a food item.
He spilled something.
Not wine. I don't think it's a drink item. I think it's a food item.
Yeah, he's probably more careful with the drink. Well, I don't know. He's a foodie.
Romelade, maybe. Connor's shaking his head there. Romelade.
Why would you serve something with red sauce at a white party?
What are you going to serve?
Because you probably had
clam chowder?
There you go. You probably have butlers.
Vanilla ice cream?
Of course.
But you'll do the mini hot dogs without the ketchup.
No, if you're having
mustard.
No, if you're having the all white party, you are not having mini hot dogs.
What's wrong with mini hot dogs?
Guess what? There's nothing wrong with it, but not if you're having the all-white party. There, I guarantee you, whatever they were serving was being brought around on trays by people in fancy clothing themselves.
Oh, sure. White.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, that's how Jamie rolls. What I love about this is we call Jamie on this ridiculous white party that he's attending, and you know he does the typical Jamie acting like, well, it's not me. It's a... Dude, you didn't have to go.
My gosh.
Like, you're driving to Connecticut. No.
You didn't have to go. It's his cousin. It's not his brother. It's not his sister. It's not his mother or father. It's a cousin.
Now
he's got a million of them.
I do.
He didn't have to go to that party. No, he wanted to go to that party.
Now, there isn't a Kincaid wedding that has ever been even approaches doing that.
Jamie's a coward. Yeah. He wanted to go to that party and he hid behind it.
By the way, Mr. Snuffy, I've become a Mr. Snuffy fan. He said they got a mall in Buckhead, Atlanta that had more nice cars than any place I've been. He says, I think the mall's probably more popular than the Hawks game. Mr. Snuffy, all I would say is do not visit the mall when you go back to Atlanta. All you have to do is Google that mall. And now it is one of the biggest places for people, random people at random parts of the day, shootings. Do not go to that mall.
They refer to the mall as the 7-Eleven of Atlanta.
Olivia's forbidden to go to that mall. It's become a crime. It's become a crime haven. It's terrible. Yeah. It's just become a place where
it's not good anywhere.
2:30 in the afternoon. People getting shot in the parking lot. It's become craziness. And like today, the local 7-Eleven. I'm very worried about. I can't get it out of my head. I'm worried about the gentleman who works overnights, the local 7-Eleven right around the corner from us, an armed robbery last.
Well, something similar happened to our own Bob back in the day, and it traumatized him so much that he's working with you.
So Bob,
I don't know what's more traumatized.
you weren't pistol
a gun in your face or working with Kincaid every day.
I wasn't pistol whipped.
You weren't pistol whipped.
No, there was no physical contact.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
There we go. So we appreciate you being a part of the John Kincaid Show. We have Sunday. Devon and Bob get you started right after Tunis.
Best pregame show in the
season. Tunis will go 9-11.
Tunis
right?
9-11. Me and Devon 11 to 12:45.
This is becoming a nice little routine.
Yeah, and hopefully we can get it out and about or something, and maybe get down to arenas at some point. I don't know. Coach has to make sure that happens. So
I love listening to that pregame show.
It's fun.
Like, truthfully,
these guys too.
Because those two have forgotten more. Well, you're right here, Bob, but you've forgotten more about basketball than I'll ever know.
What I will give them both credit for is they don't let it get too wonky.
Yeah.
Like, they don't let it get too. You don't go in the weeds too deep.
I've never smoked weed, no.
No. Well, there's edibles.
Oh, is that
now.
What you meant?
No, it's different.
Oh,
hey, we got a lot coming up in the final hour of the show, including how can you hang out with Bob, Jamie, and Pat? Now, you're going to have to pay to do it. We'll get to that. Plus, what's the storyline going to be in the Hawks series versus your Sixers? We'll talk about it next. John Kincaid Show on the Fanatic. There is so much fun to be had on the Parx Casino Sportsbook app. And I'm not just talking about the $500 risk-free bet, which is fun in its own right. Right now, we have so many things. Philadelphia, 2.5-point favorite, hosting the Hawks this weekend. Brooklyn opens up tomorrow night in primetime. They're a 4-point favorite over Milwaukee. I think I may take the 4 there. Clippers, a 2.5-point favorite tonight at Dallas. And then we've got so much more coming to you, like the Phillies in action this weekend against the really bad Nationals. You can get in on all the betting action, including the opportunity to bet live in-game wagering with the Parx Casino Sportsbook app. It's awesome. Go to parxcasino.com/PA. Use the promo code FANATIC. Get that risk-free bet up to $500 for new users. You got to be 21 and in Pennsylvania. And if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Oh, it's been a terrible week. You hate your boss. You hate your job. You're tired of it all.
I hate Egan.
You're tired of Egan. And you say, take this job and shove it. That's where we begin the 9 o'clock hour. The John Kincaid Show on The Fanatic. Brought to you by The Bagster. It's a dumpster in a bag. Get yours today at Home Depot and Lowe's. For details, go to bagster.com. Are you overcoaching Connor? Egan, are you overcoaching him or what?
No, I'm going at Coach.
Oh, you're going
Look,
to
I love the guy, all right? And let's take people behind the scenes
At
here.
Times,
I love the guy, all right? Yes. He's a decent human being, I guess. Every single Friday, he plays that same song. Same song. And it gets you going. Every Friday. With the same line. I'm going to be honest, I hate it.
You hate it.
And he knows I hate it.
So it's become something.
And I forget about it every Friday. And then 9 o'clock, Duran Duran comes in, or whoever it is. And then just a little piece of me dies. So I had to go in there and tell him how I felt about it.
Well, if a little piece of you dies, you almost disappear.
Wow.
I mean, let's be honest. If that truly was.
I have no problem rocking it with your body shots. No problem.
Resolution to that.
I hope you take into account who does not go at you about your limited stature.
Wait a minute.
You kind of just did.
Pat attacks everybody.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
He can't help that, though.
I would say it's low-hanging fruit, but it's the only fruit I can take.
Yeah, exactly. You'd be fruitless if that came to the play, if it wasn't low-hanging.
Wow.
What are you going to do? You shimmy up the tree?
Wow.
Get yourself some. Well, I like it how Bob always depicts it as Pat's being picked on.
Yeah, exactly.
I get Pat under my wing.
Pat is the troll under the bridge who comes out and attacks everybody.
I'm not the troll.
You are the troll under the bridge.
No, I'm the guy on the beach yelling, de plane, when Jamie shows up for the white party. That's who I am.
I don't think they could have tattoo anymore. They couldn't have tattoo.
They did. They had the new version.
Really?
Yeah.
Who was Ricardo Montalban?
So it was a movie. It wasn't very good.
Who was Mr. Rourke?
That was Luis Peña. It was a horror movie. Look it up.
Oh, you know what?
It wasn't very good.
A horror movie?
Yeah, it was a horror movie. It wasn't very good.
Thought they were going to Fantasy Island, but.
But they did have a little nod to tattoo in it. I gave a tip of the cap to my small brethren.
How do you make Fantasy Island into a horror movie?
The premise was basically they show up at Fantasy Island. It's a fantasy, but then the fantasy goes wrong.
Oh, okay. Because then, it goes wrong fast. Yeah, but the thing is, that was the premise of the show every week.
Oh, was it?
Is that you paid millionaires. Would pay people who had more money than sense.
So Jamie
would go to this island to live out the life that they always wanted to be. I want to be a race car driver. Yep. And every week, the punchline was the life that they are leading is better than the life that they thought they want.
Yeah, but like imagine.
I got tired. Like 5 episodes in, that was the premise every week.
And I think Jamie's realizing that now, surrounded it.
It was Michael Peña.
Michael Peña.
Yes, that's...
Luis Peña is an MMA fighter.
My nephew Billy says it was Michael Peña.
Violent Bob Ross. That's Luis Peña's nickname.
If you went to Fantasy Island...
Yeah.
The premise, the real one... What would you want to be, Pat?
Where's the two chicks at the same time drop?
What would you... Is that weird?
I'm sorry, what? What was the question?
Well, you're going to Fantasy Island because
they
would
kill you.
They would... I mean, seriously.
Who doesn't like a good boner?
That could be part of Fantasy Island too at this point, so people would pay big money.
Probably be to 5'7", 5'8". That'd be nice.
I was gonna say,
they'd have to surround you on Fantasy Island with all
smaller things,
height impaired people.
So you'd be walking into a doorway and you'd hit your head on the top of it at 5'7", 5'8".
You'd
be like,
everything.
Damn, I wish I was back to
5'3". By the way, I think they actually did that on an episode. They did something like that where somebody was. Where they built scale, they build scale buildings.
Well, look, the amount of wood that they would have to use for those scale buildings on me wouldn't be too bad.
All right, we need to know right now the storyline. What is it going to be at the end? By the way, I think I got the first round storyline right. Is that Ben Simmons was the Sixers' best player?
You did. You nailed that.
So I'm thinking that he was. He was their best player in the series. Tobias Harris, 4 out of 5 games, though, was pretty awesome. He was like Tobias Harris, and I wanted to make that clear, and I didn't yesterday. I was knocking on Tobias Harris about his game 4 performance, so I want to make sure that I say, hey, wait, 4 out of 5 games, he was freaking fantastic.
Yeah.
Game 4, he was subpar, but the 4 of the other 5. So take a shot. Bob, you go first. What's the storyline going to be for the Sixers in this series?
Well, the storyline will be Joel Embiid, no matter what. He might not show up a game or two, and it'll still be the storyline. But I think the storyline is going to be that you get way more of Joel Embiid than you don't, and it is the Joel Embiid that we saw all year. I think you go through this series with little to no worry about
Joel Embiid didn't matter. That's the storyline.
I think you'll get him and it's good.
That's a
really good one.
That's a really great one.
I want to go with Maxey, There's so many options, but I'll go with Matisse. I'll go with Matisse shutting down Trae Young.
Okay.
I'll go with the Sixers defense, but it's led mostly by Matisse.
Word that better.
Ben.
Word it differently.
Don't say shutting down, because I don't think that's...
Yeah, okay. Shutting down as much as you can shut down Trae Young.
He's
containing?
An X-factor.
Containing is a good way to put it. Frustrating him.
Okay.
Oh, that's good. I like that.
Yeah, I'll go with frustrating.
Connor?
Pat just took that right out from under me. I'm going to switch. We'll pivot. Tobias Harris, game one of round one, is the Tobias Harris we get for five or six games in round
okay.
two.
Mine will be Atlanta not ready for prime time. That the team is not ready for this stage at this time. And expectations.
This could rival the Sixers playing Boston in the second round the first year they made the playoffs with Simmons and Embiid. Boston was just the better team, and they weren't ready.
They're just the better team.
Yeah.
And they're not ready for it. And no knock on them. If it's that, but it's just they're not ready for it right now. Hey, whether it's next day delivery or getting involved in your local communities, Napa goes above and beyond to serve you because their motor never quits. That's Napa know-how. So there is a tradition of my old radio station that you would, in a playoff series or otherwise, you would mock the opposing team's hashtag. So the Sixers is here they come. Can you tell me, Bob, what they
are
now?
It's really Philly Unite.
Yeah, but it's still Here They Come is what
I
the
use
ones
here
when
they
gets
come.
The Sixers. No, that's the one the Sixers logo pops up.
Yeah, Philly.
Hashtag Here They Come.
I always go to their Twitter account and see which one is in their bio. Okay. I like Here They Come better.
I like Here They Come. So what do you believe they are mocking? It has just been unleashed this morning. Where will they put hashtag to mock the Sixers? What are they using? Put your creative minds to head, and then I'll tell you what they're
not
using.
That creative.
Here they come, there they go.
That's Bob, the lazy
Bob
one.
Bob is so good. Though.
Yeah, that's
Bob is so lazy.
I mean, what did they give that 3 minutes?
Here they go. Here they go.
Wow,
Manny. Here they go.
They really thought that one out, didn't they?
No, but
they?
I think yeah. that's no. But I
your
believe
former coworkers really put a lot of
I
time
tell
in
you,
that.
Though,
one.
I believe it's they've done a lot of cuts.
Yeah, obviously. They got mostly to the creative department.
They got rid of some of the veteran talent when you
I mean, think about how long that meeting was. Wait, so it's Here They Come.
We just had it in 30 seconds.
Here
God,
they go.
What are they going to do? How about Here They Go?
Yeah, that there you go.
Wow.
Boom.
It's amazing. Don't sell it short that they... Not the pattern.
That's all
I'm
I can do. I mean, come
don't
on.
Sell it short that that's what they are... that was what they're going with. Here They Go.
Wow. Yeah.
So that's what, yeah, I mean...
It's about as lame as they're going to be in this playoff
that's
series.
It's going to intimidate. It is very intimidating. The 1 o'clock start, though, it doesn't seem like... It seems like a lot of some of our YouTube folks and some of others love the 1 o'clock start. Love Sunday afternoon basketball. I was just asking for the 3:30.
I love Sunday afternoon basketball, too.
3:30 to me is the game.
Yeah, when I was covering the team, a noon Sunday game, oh, that was a dream. I loved it.
We had dinner with the family.
Yeah, get home in time for that. You go to the arena and you get breakfast. You know, like, that's cool. I 1 o'clock?
It doesn't seem big.
It doesn't.
It doesn't.
Yeah, that's a good point. I'd almost prefer, like, 12:30 or something for some reason. I don't know. 3:30 is ultimate.
12:30.
Well, 1 o'clock is just—it's 1 o'clock. It's football time on a Sunday. It's not basketball time on a Sunday.
Yeah, but it's not football season.
1 o'clock seems like 1 o'clock is an odd
that's
time
a fact.
For an NBA game.
It is.
But isn't that
for a number one seed too?
Yeah.
Wasn't the Sixers,
everyone hates us.
The opening game of the Wizards series was that not 1 o'clock? Or was
it was.
It was,
it
1 o'clock.
Was 1 o'clock.
Same thing.
Yeah.
It just doesn't seem the same. Now I went out to PJ's. In Downingtown for that one, and it was a great atmosphere. So
was it
I'm
a 1 o'clock game? It was.
It was a 1 o'clock Sunday. Sunday after, because I played Downingtown. I played Ron Jaworski's Downingtown Country Club, and then went across.
Yeah, me and Chunas hung out.
You hung out with Dikembe Mutombo.
Yeah, Dikembe Mutombo wanted to hang out with Andrew Salchunas. He came in and he yelled, "Play the song."
He did, really?
Yeah. I was taken aback.
He's the Cookie Monster.
Salchunas said, "I don't have the ability to do that, sir. My board's not in front of me."
He sounds like he's a Cookie Monster.
He does.
Dikembe Mutombo.
Yeah, he seemed like a nice guy.
He's a good guy.
But to your point, though, it does not feel big.
No, it doesn't feel
big. I kind of like the anticipation of a playoff game of any sport where you have to wait all day. And you have to think about it all day. And
I love
or you don't like
I
that.
I like that.
Nah.
I like that anticipation.
See, I would prefer always that the Eagles play in the 4 o'clock game. Not night games. Don't like night games. It just, and now we're working morning radio that I've never worked in my entire life. I don't prefer night games. I would prefer a 4 o'clock or a 4:25 every Sunday is perfect. Because then you get to still have your Sunday for everything else you want to do, and you can still get your Eagles game at a great time. I know a lot of people love the 1 o'clock. And the 1 o'clock's great, I guess, if you're going to the game, it's perfect.
Yeah.
You get there, you breakfast at home, you tailgate in the parking lot, you drink, you go to the game, you're still getting to bed at a reasonable hour, things like that.
I think the reason I don't like it, and this is kind of weird, is because, and not that I expect them to lose, but if the team loses, then I stew on it for the rest of the day. It's ruined my entire day.
Well, I've heard that
Whereas
about you.
Whereas the anticipation of the playoff game, it doesn't ruin me, the anticipation, but if they lose,
I gotta tell
wait
you
till
this.
You see him.
No, I got to tell you, Pat, you were a little bit of a bee on Monday. On Tuesday, I mean.
Tuesday. What was Tuesday?
When we came back from a three-day weekend, were in a grumpaholic mood on Tuesday morning. Yes, before game 5.
Yeah, but you have one of those faces that does that to people.
Really? Usually it's a charming face.
Bob tried to get me out of it and said, it's all right, Pat.
It'll work with
you. It's only 4 days.
You're in a grumpaholic mood.
Who was? Pat today?
Yeah, no, Tuesday when we came back.
Tuesday when we came back? Yeah, you were. You were a little bit.
You're grumpy.
He's an angry elf.
Yeah, that's what it is. Look, Santa was working me hard.
Too easy.
You're making the wooden trains?
Yeah, the deadlines are coming.
Now, Connor's putting his hands up in the air like he likes the 1 o'clock start.
Love it. What is your guys' deal with it? And the whole argument that it doesn't feel big enough.
What about the person who wants to hang at the pool on, we're getting a nice weekend this weekend that you didn't get last weekend? You're not hanging at the pool.
Put the radio out and listen to them on 97.5
The Fanatic. Well, you can, but you want to watch the game probably, too.
Then bring the TV out and watch the game at the pool.
Some people don't have a pool.
Okay, then don't go to the pool. I don't know. I didn't bring the pool into this scenario.
You can't get out and enjoy your day.
Some people have concrete.
But like 1 o'clock, you don't have to wait for the game to start. You don't have that anticipation. Just like, you don't need to spend all day stewing. And I know if they lose, it kind of hurts. But you get right to the game. You wake up. It's already almost game time, it feels like. And you can just get right into it.
I don't mind one. Yeah, I don't. I like 3:30
better. You've already gotten up, been to church, gotten out of church, gotten something to eat, and then gone and watched the game.
Yeah, you're right there. You don't have to wait. You don't have to figure out how to spend like the 5 hours in the middle of the day where you're anticipating the game.
I love it.
I'm down with that. Maybe a screwdriver for breakfast to get you going.
Mimosa.
I love the Bob immediately goes alcohol.
What is the alcohol option that plays to this one, which is a good one?
What for a 1 o'clock game?
1 o'clock game. Is there different than a 4 o'clock game?
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah. Okay. So for a 1 o'clock game, if you're not going and you're hanging, I say you get up and you make a big lunch brunch kind of thing at like 11-ish. And maybe you could have a screwdriver, a Bloody Mary, whatever your drink is of choice. And then you chill out and you get ready for game time. I wouldn't start on the beers until halftime of the game, though.
Do you like watching playoff games? And I heard Tunis was talking about this the other day. Do you like watching them on your couch, or do you like watching them in public? I've got to tell you, the only part that bothers me about watching them in public is if I get to a place and I'm already there because I've got myself set up to watch the game, and then the people around you are really not paying attention to the game. They're not, like I said, PJ's in Downingtown had a great atmosphere for the first Sixers game against Washington. It was an awesome atmosphere. But I've been to places before, you go in, it's like, okay, big game tonight. And you can tell people are not even, they're not really watching it intently.
That bothers me
if I'm there. I'd rather sit at home and watch it on the couch if I know that the atmosphere is going to suck if I'm out in public.
My preference is to be at home and watch it. But, I do like a good gathering.
Yes.
So if I can be
good at gathering.
If I can be with like family and friends who I know are going to be into the game and you can put yourself into that little cocoon, then I'm okay. So if I can get like a couple of friends and wives and all that, and we're all into it, then I'm all right. I don't care about the outside noise or lack thereof.
I need to be alone with my thoughts. I need to be alone with my thoughts. I honestly need to be alone so that if things go south like they did in game 4, I have the ability to curse and no one kind of stare at me like, what's his deal? Oh my God, it's just a game.
Who are you sitting near? What did you call the girls that come in?
The woo girls?
Yeah. Oh. You go to a couple games, if you go to a couple bars, all right, you go to the wrong bar, all right, obviously you didn't. If you go to the wrong bar and you get really animated and there are those people there that are kind of just there to be seen and be out and you get a little animated and you get the looks. Oh, my God. Doesn't he know it's just a game? What's his deal?
Oh, that's not good. That doesn't sound good.
Are you going to a bar in the valley or something?
Like that? Valley girl.
What are you doing?
Where are you going?
I'm the opposite.
What is that?
I need to be out. If I sit at home and I'm like alone on my couch with my roommate or something, I'll lose it if something goes bad or bad calls start being made or something. Because I'll sit there and I'll stew inside my own head. If I'm out and there's people to be interacting with and everything, like if there's someone next to me angry, it makes me less angry because I look at that dude and I'm like, ah, that guy's going crazy. If I'm home and I'm the only one there or only one friend.
Or you and your roommate are on the couch together.
Right, exactly. There's plenty of room on the couch. It's a big couch.
Thanks for clarifying.
Well, I
thought it was like a pajama grab ad.
Oh, yeah. Like, can't sit on the couch?
I don't know.
Share a house, but you can sit on the same furniture.
Some movies start out like that.
Yeah, it's a weird line to draw.
So wait, it's 1 o'clock on Sunday. I haven't even planned out Sunday. I told you, I'm a day-to-day guy.
Well, you'll be here.
Oh, yeah, I'll be here,
But then what do you do?
Fly. I fly home.
Do you put it on DVR and then catch up?
Yes,
I have been
lucky enough that the last two games that Devon and I have done, the pregame, we have gotten to our destinations in time for our opening tip.
Wow.
Yeah. So we run out of here, listen to Brian Seltzer do pregame, and then listen to Tom McGinnis do pregame. Then he interviews Doc Rivers, and then you get tip off, and I've been lucky enough to make it home.
Okay, the bar or the sports bar? Because there's a difference. I have a great bar. Right catty corner on Bong Boulevard, right from me there. Great place. McCluskey's is a great bar.
No, it
is. It's not a sports bar. It is a great bar. But do you watch a game at a sports bar or do you watch a game at a bar?
Now, McCluskey's is interesting because...
That's a bar.
It's
a bar.
That could
be a bar in any movie if you were doing about a Philadelphia taproom.
Right.
Local community bar.
No, you're right to describe it as a bar because as I recall, there's only a couple of TVs, right? Maybe two. Maybe
there's
two?
More. No.
Oh, there's more?
There's like three behind the bar and then like three mounted.
Okay, well then it's not the sports bar in the sense of the named sports bars that we know, like a PJ Wellahan's,
right,
I would
exactly.
call a sports bar. But I would classify it because it's very casual and stuff and it has that many TVs. That's kind of a sports bar.
Patty, you don't drink.
I don't,
So you'd go to the sports bar because it's more like a restaurant.
I'd have to go, normally, non-pre-pandemic era, I was going to a place to watch the UFC fights with a buddy. So we would get together and we'd eat and we'd watch the UFC pay-per-views. And basically what you'd pay for the pay-per-view, you're spending at the bar or whatever, right? I don't mind that so much, but... I'm not really a bar person in general. And then you get a crowd, and as I said, like if things start going south,
and
I'm
people
just,
aren't paying attention.
You know, yeah. I'm not a person you really want to be around. Now that's usually the case with just about everyday life, but
yeah, you don't like being around people.
Especially I don't mind you guys. Except John.
You sort of act that way.
I don't know if I've ever been that much in a social setting with Pat.
Yeah, no, we watched a game together.
Occasionally.
We watched a game at Xfinity Live a couple of years ago. A playoff game.
I'm putting
say
life
it didn't make an
and you,
impression
and you introduced,
on me.
You introduced me to Donna as, yeah, this is that kid.
Well, we're putting Life 360. We're putting Life 360 on your phone when we go to Vegas. Because I want to know where you are. So we're going to, so we can monitor
a tracking device.
Because we want to hang with you.
Why is Pat always at the Bunny Ranch?
Why is
What's
Pat
he doing there?
What is he doing? How could that take more than 10 minutes? I mean, seriously.
Well, I got to apologize for three of them.
Why is it so long at that point? So
I have nothing.
It just is.
I cry for three, and I apologize for the next three.
There you go. So it's it's going to be a big one on Sunday. But you've heard the storylines, which we predict for the series. If you want to share some of yours, you can on social media with us too. Our YouTube gang can get in the mix too. You can put your comments in there if you.
Is the YouTube gang in better moods, John? As far as you know, can
there's
you tell?
There's a lot of there's always a lot of infighting. I think they're starting to get to know each other really, really well.
Oh, so they fight with each other?
Yeah, some days they turn
better
on
than
each
fighting
other.
With us.
They cannibalize us. You know, they'll get on you for something.
We should have a watch party of just YouTube people.
We're going to have the YouTube folks. I already said we are going to have specific invites to YouTube, the YouTube all-stars, as we'll call them. When we start to be able to, we have our performance venue here in the building. Our goal is to have one live show a month. that will be able to be where people can come, and we will invite the YouTube All-Stars, and Coach will dole out the invites. So, Coach, you will be in charge of the invites like Willy Wonka with the freaking golden tickets.
Yeah.
To decide who gets to come.
It's honestly, it's for me, it's one of the coolest things about the creation of the show is something I didn't expect. The community that's grown on YouTube, and you see a lot of the same names every day, but they get together and it's...
And they're a community.
Yeah.
And Coach, you will be the one who decides who lives and who dies.
I love that part of it.
Jesus. This got dark quick.
Well, I mean, it's who lives
and dies?
Well, it does. By the way, Peter August yesterday.
Mopar survives.
Peter August murdered yesterday.
Don't we have to break?
Peter August.
Oh, get out.
Connor, hit the break.
I didn't know.
Peter got killed.
They're talking General Hospital. Connor, hit the break.
Sixers, 1 o'clock Sunday.
I don't think he got killed.
No, you don't think he's dead?
I don't think he's dead.
You guys can talk about this off air.
I don't think he's dead. I'm not going to be fooled. Faison's kid's going to die the first time they try to kill him?
No. Let me tell you about BetMGM.
It's not happening. I'm going to tell you something better. All right, the Phillies moving on up or sliding on back. We'll find out in the next 4 weeks or so. It's a John Kincaid Show here on The Fanatic. Get the Parks Casino Sportsbook app. Have it rolling with you right there on the couch. If you were Connor, you could sit there with your roommate on the couch, and you could play and watch the Parks Casino Sportsbook app do its thing. Clippers, 2.5-point favorites tonight at Dallas as they face elimination. Brooklyn, a 4-point favorite tomorrow night against the Milwaukee Bucks at home. The Sixers, right now, 2.5-point favorites hosting Atlanta. When you find out that Joel Embiid's playing, that line's going up. So you might want to get on it now. You're going to absolutely love the Parks Casino Sportsbook app. And they have a way to entice you. How about a $500 risk-free bet? Go to parkscasino.com/PA. Use promo code FANATIC to take advantage of that risk-free bet of up to $500. It's like daily fantasy right there in the palm of your hand. You're going to absolutely love it. That's for new customers that they sign up, get that risk-free bet. You will love the Parks Casino Sportsbook app. Use your sports knowledge. Put it to the test. You got to be 21 in Pennsylvania. If you got a gambling problem, please call 1-800-GAMBLER.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Hopefully you have a fantastic Friday and this weekend. Boy, this is a song that I guarantee you Pat doesn't like. It means happiness and joy.
Can't stand it.
Fun.
More of a Backstreet Boys Black and Blue album fan. Show me the meaning of being lonely, John.
Oh, man.
I got to congratulate you on something. And I don't even think you realize you did it. You went through a whole show.
Why? Seriously, dude, why? Stop.
Why? You don't even know what I'm about to say.
He
does not even know what you're going to say.
I know, but it's going to annoy me, so don't do it.
No, I know what it is.
You went through a whole show.
No, I know what it is.
No, I don't think you know what it is. I think he's got something different up his sleeve. I know what you're going to say. This is weird.
Two? What was that?
Coach, I don't think that's true. I don't think that's true.
You just said it twice.
Oh, no. No, it's not that.
Because I have.
Yes, you have.
You went through a whole show.
No.
And you remember to turn your mic on every single time. There wasn't one time where you forgot.
You know, it's weird, though. It's the last 2 weeks, though, that's just all of a sudden popped up.
Yeah, that never happened.
Yeah, it never happened before, and then it's been a trend. Well, guess what? You bucked the trend.
Yeah, and it's also not like I also didn't... that's a tough memory. we didn't also have any
jingles. He lost his train of thought.
Not any jingles.
That's where I thought you were going.
Like, you know, it would be a great place to go this week.
No, it wouldn't.
To buy.
No.
No, it is a great place to go.
It's time for you to shut the f*** up.
Thank you, Connor.
It's not a great song for John to sing.
Do you know how many people will, though, in a day will tweet, John, put it on our YouTube, that jingle has created quite a...
I've never wanted to talk Aaron Nola more than right now.
No, you don't.
No, I don't.
You really don't.
I don't.
Well, no, you can talk about the ace. He goes tonight.
Yeah, he has been. He has been. Mr. Wheeler, as you have advertised.
Yeah, the ace was has been fantastic. The Phillies face the Nationals, and we are 1 month away from our nation's birthday, 4th of July.
I've heard of it.
Okay, it's a big holiday. But can I say to you that with the 4th of July 1 month from now, we will know by 4th of July whether this team is viable for playing any meaningful games in September. And I'm not talking about, well, they're still in it. They're only four out. I've already gotten that manifesto from a gentleman earlier today. They're still in it. You're acting like they're dead. And I say to him, they're in it for what? Seven-game series. They could beat the Dodgers. They could beat the Padres. They could beat the Rays. Well, he answered me back. Anything can happen in a seven-game series. It's a crapshoot. I'm like, no. No. He goes, look at the 93 Phillies. I believe the 93 Phillies won 94 games or 95 games. The Braves, I think, won 104 that year or something. So, or maybe the Phillies won more in 93. Maybe they won like 96. And so it's not like this Phillies team, spoiler alert, their win total is not going to begin with a 9.
It'll begin with a 1.
What do you mean?
100.
Yeah, it's not happening. Yeah, it's not happening. I'm sorry. No. Not happening. Not happening. So I'm just saying to you is that we're going to know a month from today. So I ask you now, 1 month from today, what are we saying about the Phillies? Better off than they were today? Than they are today. Better off today or not as well off as they are today? A month from today, are we talking more positive storylines for the Phillies? We're into it. They're going to make a run. They could be in the wild card hunt. A month from today on 4th of July, we will not be working that day. We will come back on the 6th because it was a holiday weekend.
Ah, mm-hmm, nice.
So, yes, look ahead to that.
Shout out to America.
Where are you, Bob, a month from today? What will be the storyline?
Three letters. S. O. L. S. And I don't mean.
I thought it was S-O-L too.
No. And I don't mean same old ship.
Okay.
I mean something else. I just see this team playing the way they've played. Injuries, yes. Look, I know Pat's sick of me here saying it, but I just think this is who they are. I think the lead will widen. Either New York, Atlanta, and Washington. Somebody's going to take some reins here. And I think the lead, the Phillies will be further out of first place than they are now. But I think it's just going to be up and down baseball just like we've seen, whether it's injury or not.
See, that's what I'm not sick of you saying it.
You're sick of it, Pat.
What I'm worried that you're wrong. I'm worried that...
No, you're worried that I'm right.
No, I'm worried that you're wrong. I'm worried that they are worse than a 500 team because you keep going with they're a 500 baseball team and they're trending towards being worse than a 500 team. I think they are better a month from now. It really depends on is Vince Velasquez actually, you know, this rejuvenated pitcher? Did he finally become a pitcher? Or are we going to get the Vince Velasquez that we saw last game? Is Spencer Howard, are they going to take the kid's gloves off of him? Are you going to have an answer in the outfield? Is Andrew McCutchen going to wake up? I mean, there's so many question marks. I'll skew more positively and go with Bob's take that they're going to be a 500 team. They're going to write this. They're going to go on a little streak. The question is, what does the rest of the division do?
And that's the bottom line is I still believe they're going to be two teams in 90 wins. And Ricky rolls his eyes at me every single time when I've said it. I believe the Mets and the Braves will both win 90. So
the Mets are banged up.
They're
banged up, man.
They've had a terrible run of it.
Yeah. But the scary thing is that if they continue to win with a bunch of guys on the IL, it's only going to get better. Exactly.
I'm trying to look at the Phillies looking ahead and just saying, okay, could we see the run coming? All right, here we go. Three with the Nats at home, three with the Braves at home, two with the Yankees. If that homestand gives me in those eight games, if they're 5-3, I think I'm feeling pretty good. If they have a 5-3 homestand, I'm thinking pretty good. Beat the Nets, beat the Braves, split with the Yankees. I'd be pretty happy with that as a homestand. Then you go on the road. Dodgers, Giants. Tough week.
Yeah, on the road, too.
Glad let them taking some beach.
Is there six or seven or eight of those games?
There's three with the Dodgers, three with the Giants.
Oh, it's only six. Okay.
On that road trip. They didn't add the third team on the West Coast win.
Right.
So that'll be a different trip.
They maybe get two wins out of that.
Then you come home. They get five games with the Nats at home this month.
Yeah, they're struggling.
That can sort of help. And then you've got four-game series at the Mets. I mean,
I think the Mets are beatable. Really do.
People aren't beating them.
That's the thing.
That much.
Yeah,
I mean, they're five games over 500. We're talking about, I'm talking about them like they're, you know, like they're world beaters.
They're five games over 500 with half their roster on the IL.
But if you're five games over 500 with half your team beaten up, you're on pace to be 16 or 17 games over 500 for the year.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like you're going through the schedule just only a month ahead, right? And look what we're doing. Right? Aren't we just doing, if they can go 5-3, maybe that's a 2-4. This might be a 3-3. It's aggravatingly is what it is.
I don't see a run in them.
Well, and the frustrating thing to Bob's point is when they go on a little bit of a mini run, they win three or four in a row, they end up dropping the next two or three.
Well,
you know, and you laid out the series coming up that you need to take. What did you say?
I'd say you have three with the Nats.
Yeah.
Win that series, go 2-1. Three with the Braves, win that series, go 2-1.
Okay.
You're then 4-2 in the homestand, then split with the Yankees. It's a two-game weekend set.
So 5-3.
5-3. I think 5-3 would leave me feeling very good.
Yeah, and 5-3 would be cool because the West Coast trip you have, if you go 2-4.
You're not too upset with it.
Like, but I'm kind of just expecting them to go 2-4
in that
trip.
But then you're treading water. You know,
and that's the problem, yeah.
We're right where we are at this point. So, by the way, Scherzer, Wheeler tonight.
That's a matchup.
That is a great matchup. Get down to the ballpark, and you predicted, Pat, 30 grand tonight?
I would say about 30.
If Cousin Matt is listening, he can maybe give us a little scouting report on what it looks like. This would be a great night to go to the ballpark, though. A little weather iffy early, but it should be okay by game time.
Listen to Wheeler's last four outings. This is amazing.
Wait, hand him your lotion.
You mean it's an ace-like performance.
I'm sorry, it's last five outings.
Wow, five outings.
Get the lotion out, Johnny. There's the tissues.
He puts the lotion in the basket.
36 innings pitched, 36.1. 23 hits, 6 earned runs.
Oh, my gosh.
51 strikeouts, 4 walks.
It's insane.
So that's how an ace performs.
Those are Aaron Nola-type numbers. That's good work.
Exactly. So Connor's finally. I'm glad I've been able to educate Connor on some baseball because the arguments about the Nola arguments have been great. They were cute when they lasted. For you know that is when an ace Zach Wheeler is pitching like a game one starter for a team that could win a World Series. Not this team, but Zach Wheeler is pitching like the guy you would hand the ball in game one to and say you got a shot to win against the other team's ace.
Yeah.
Bottom line. He is big, and he usually, July and August are usually
sucks.
His months.
Well, and that's what worries.
No, they're usually his months.
No, but I say like early, like these right. months, he sucks.
And then
like
he
in
gets
his
hurt.
Career, he talked about it. I have no idea why. I have no idea what happened and changed. You'll love to see it for sure.
I think there's a reason though.
What do you think it is?
He's an Atlantic guy, kid that grew up there. I think he grew up in hot. Heat, humidity, sweating, you know how to, they when you grow up in it, you thrive in it. I went down there, felt like I was three showers a day. This is terrible. And people who grew up there in it are like, man, it's the best. They love the heat. They can deal with it. It's not
so
that
you
bad.
Think he finally acclimated to Northeast weather?
No, I think he loves it when it's hot.
Oh, yeah. But,
so
like,
in his career,
but what changed
he loves
this
it
year?
When he's sweating and hot. I don't know what it is with him. I think the fact is now, well, first off, I feel there's health to it. And there were teams that did not want to sign him because of that fingernail issue.
Yeah.
And other things that he's got, like that they were afraid of that.
I'll tell you, I didn't like the deal because of the fact that his splits, first half of the season he was bad, second half he was amazing.
And he's flipped that. Which
and
is
he has.
Let's
now
hope
you,
it doesn't
now you
flip.
Hope, ex-
yes.
And that, yeah, you hope that, and if they any chance of competing, they have to have this for the rest of the season. Because Nola, I love the guy. He's been bad.
But he could turn it around.
Zach Eflin's been, I think, what you want from a third starter. And then it's a matter of who you're getting for their fourth and fifth.
I fully expect, Bob, though, we're going to talk about Aaron Nola at some point in the next 2 months putting together a streak of five starts that's not as good as those type of numbers, but pretty damn close.
Right.
Not the, not as many of the strikeout to walk, but yeah. just because he has no control anymore.
No,
so Aaron Nola has lost his control.
He's a nibbler.
He's a nibbler.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's necessarily the game that's being called.
Or he can't locate.
Or it's actually a control issue that, he's having trouble locating.
Yeah, you're going to have that. In order
I
for
think
them-
you will, though. I think Nola's going to come back and push his ERA down and get more respectable.
Well, that's the good news you have, because he is a good pitcher.
He is a good pitcher.
So you would think that the back of the card stuff is going to happen. In order for that to happen, yes, he's going to have a string of games like this. And if Wheeler keeps going like this, I don't know if he can. Like, he's got a 1.5 ERA over his last five games.
It's crazy.
I don't know that he can keep going like that. But as you guys said, he gets better as the year goes on. My thing with him is, I think he's the perfect time out of having Tommy John surgery. Like, I remember reading a story on him. When you're 2.5 to 3 years out of having it, after having it, is when most of these pitchers that go good really find their groove. It's when they really feel better and can find what they were. I think he's there right now. And if he has the August and September that he's had in the past, his numbers are ridiculous. No,
right.
He's like 25-9 with the 2-something ERA.
It's 2 is one of the things with like Aaron Nola this year. 12 starts and like 70 innings pitched. And that's declining. I need more. I need more innings.
Yeah,
pitched.
He
can't pitch into the sixth many games.
Yeah, and I think part of it is Girardi's had a quick hook with a lot of these guys, but there's been plenty of games where when he gets pulled, I'm not surprised. And it's not because of Joe Girardi's tendencies. It's because of the fact that he isn't locating all of a sudden. He's having trouble. He's giving up an inning where all of a sudden it's, he's cruising along, 30 pitches.
Right.
35 yeah. pitches. And you're like, all right, he's not going
that
seven.
One crazy inning.
Like, he'll be trending towards going seven. And then all of a sudden, boom. And I don't know what it is.
Hey, for the best live in-game betting, download the Parx Casino Sportsbook app. Use promo code Fanatic. You got to be 21 and in Pennsylvania. If you got a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. So, the one other item is going up for bids today that we haven't announced this morning. It is the Beers with Bob and Jamie experience and Egan.
Hello.
You get to take a brewery tour with Bob Cooney and Jamie Lynch. You're chauffeured by non-alcoholic Pat Egan. Spend the day checking out. Now, that's sort of insinuated that you guys are alcoholics. That's not what I meant. It means that he does not drink.
I've been called worse.
So take the brewery tour with Bob and Jamie, who will be half in the bag.
I do other
chauffeured
stuff.
By Pat Egan.
Drink water.
Spend the day checking out some of their favorite breweries. White glove designated driving service from none other than Pat Egan. I think we're gonna have to get a chauffeur hat. Yeah, there's something for you, like a little costume or something.
Mr. Lynch.
Yes, can do that. We can get cash. So that is really awesome.
I won't be driving my car either. So it's
yeah,
not
that
you're
car
not gonna
smells.
Have you're not gonna have the hockey bag in the back.
This is gonna be so much. This is a fun item, and it went up at 9 o'clock this morning. You can make your first bids on this. To get in on it, this brewery tour. This is going to be fun.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we'll hit a bunch of different breweries, get some food to eat, obviously taste their local beers, whatever it may be. It's going to be a lot of fun. And I can't say it enough as much as we bust on. I don't even know if you agreed to do it. We got to just put it out there that you were going to be the driver.
No, I don't really care. All I need is a phone book that I can sit on so I can drive around and I'm good to go.
I'll even let you take my car. We're taking my car.
As long as it's not snowing, that's
as
fine.
Your car's
the worst car I've ever seen in the snow.
I don't know if Jamie will be seen in a car like mine. Maybe we have to take
something else.
What am I doing? This is like I'm not used to. Well, he's used to somebody opening up his doors for him.
He lives that Maybach life.
That is going to be a great deal, though. So somebody get in on that. You check that out. That does not expire till Wednesday, so you have time to get in on it, but you might want to jump on in. Beers with Bob and Jamie, and Egan is your driver coming up, which is fantastic.
Do I get to come into the brewery with you guys, or do I just have to stay in the car?
No,
I have to stay in the car.
There's food and stuff.
When you're hungry, we'll let you come in.
Yeah,
just
keep
it running. Just stay out there.
Yeah. It is going
the limo
to be.
Driver.
Oh my gosh, this is going to be so much fun. The Sixers starting out Sunday though, and we have a Monday show, which honestly becomes, these shows become almost like post-game shows. Even though we've got a fantastic post-game show right here on the Fanatic with these Sixer games. Man, he like can knock you across the room.
Yeah.
And but Mondays sort of become, it'll become a game one postgame. Last time we were celebrating.
You will be this time too.
We'll celebrate on Monday.
Yeah. It's a game one win. I no problems.
Does Joel Embiid play? Last thing before I get to Anthony.
I think he does, yes.
No.
Yes.
Here's Anthony Gargano. He says yes.
But Chinas will be playing the song.
I say no. I say no.
You say no?
Why? I say no. I'm just saying to you because you know what? Because this organization decides to say, we're afraid to put you out when you're perfectly healthy. Wait a minute, you played two games this week? Can't play a third.
So, you understand one thing, and Bob knows as well.
I'm trying to understand a lot about this team.
Okay, and Bob knows as well. These guys have camps that have a lot of control when it comes to their players.
Now, wait a minute. Individual players have camps?
Yes.
Yes.
I mean, listen, they all have, they all have very strong, like players, it's a players league.
Do you believe that the Sixers have maybe made Joel Embiid up in the head a little more cautious? Or do you believe his camp has?
I don't believe that Joel is, I think Embiid wants to play. All right? I think his camp runs the show. That's just my, 50,000 foot look at things. I believe the camp goes, Joe's not playing. Right? That's what, the other night.
Where is
Vocal
Cords?
The other night, I believe it was Joe's not playing.
Okay, I mean, here's what I'll say to you, though, is where are your freaking vocal cords at that point if you're Joel Embiid? Do you get pushed, led around in the nose by your camp? Because at some point, you are the meal ticket. They work for you. They are there in your universe
But, again, you're talking about play. I mean, you understand, Bob, you've been around this. You've seen it.
Yeah, so when Ben Simmons broke his foot in training camp, a couple of days later, I was driving in Boston to go to a game, and I got a call from an executive in the league that says he's going to be out for the year. And I said, why do you say that? Did you hear something about the injury? He goes, his team will not let him come back with this injury.
That's incredible.
Meaning his...
Well, so incredible.
Right, I mean, they're saying, well, it's, we manage you. This is what it is.
See, no, wait,
but I believe, this is what I believe, though. I believe the kid plays. I believe he wants to play.
He'll play?
I do.
I will say this, because I don't know.
And I believe they crushed that team.
I don't know personally. Have you worked with some of your writing stuff and everything? You probably worked with an agent.
Yeah.
Okay. My agent took my marching order. And he was my guy, just by the way, just got put in the Country Music Hall of Fame. He has gotten moved to, but he answered, it was my game plan and he executed it. Not vice versa. I would hope that Joel Embiid is the one who's calling his shots.
Guys, young guys coming in. I mean, you got all this. Hey, you just worry about playing, and you let us worry about how we manage you. I've seen it with actors and
oh, absolutely.
I've seen that before.
It's scary.
But I'm excited. I mean, I don't.
What are you putting five? What you're going to give it on the show today? Yeah, but I mean,
yeah, I don't think they match up. Bob said it too. I agree.
I said six.
I'm with Bob.
You said, Pat, you said five?
Five.
Yeah.
Bob goes five.
Yeah.
Connor, you go five?
Yeah.
Pretty much?
Yeah.
I say six. I think
are you getting a lot of stuff from Atlanta?
Yeah. Yeah. That's great.
Going this weekend?
I'm here this weekend.
Okay.
I will be back home.
Will you go on the road? Will you
go on the beach?
No, will you go to their games in Atlanta?
No.
They have flyers in his face on the plane.
Guess who is?
They won't let him on the plane. Atlanta doesn't want him back.
There's going to be tough. Did you wait? Go watch the video that Mike put out. Mike created a hype video for us where I said I love you back to the city and taunted them on every single playoff loss that they've had to Philadelphia.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, yes. It's going over really well.
I love it.
My daughter says she's already being trolled by her classmates going, your dad's such a, oh my God.
Oh man.
So this is already starting. The bloodlines are
gone. I like the war, man.
Let's have some fun. War's fun.
Yeah, war's fun.
It's all about sports. We're not playing.
World War II is not fun.
You can ask my dad.
It was
terrible.
Yeah, wars aren't fun.
Hey, remember to support life-saving cancer research. Join me and our generous partner, Pierce Phelps, Bryant, Heating and Air Conditioning. Make a donation today to the American Association for Cancer Research today. And check out all of our auction items, too, that are available for you. You can check the live auction items. And next week, there are some amazing things, including Chef Anthony, golfing with Mike Missinelli, a box with the Sixers and us. Check out 97.5 The Fanatic and make a donation today. Cancer research saves lives. We're going to have a great weekend. We hope you do too. For all of us here at the John Kincaid Show, let's go Sixers.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.